school.org.
Good morning, everyone. This is WHFR Dearborn. Welcome to another installment of Radio Vault for the 25th of March. I guess this will be the last Radio Vault we do for this month, but no matter, we've got some good stuff lined up for you. We have got three consecutive episodes of the Jack Benny program. The first one is where Jack asks Sam Goldwyn, the movie mogul, to do a story about his life and, you know, basically to do a Jack Benny documentary. This is back in 1947. We will also hear, let's see, we'll hear about Jack fixing a phonograph and ended up buying a baseball team. And finally, we're going to hear the third Jack Benny program. We have a Jack Benny triple play this morning. The Egg and I is the skit from April 20th of 1947. Then we have got on tap some Fibber McGee and Molly, the Barbershop Quartet episode. And we're going to wrap it today with a couple of episodes of The Great Gildersleeve. So that's what's in store for you. So if you're ready, I'm ready to go back to April 6, 1947.
The Jack Benny Program. Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to this morning and look in on Jack Benny at his home in Beverly Hills.
Let's see. Maybe behind this chiffonier. I'll move it and look. No, not here. Maybe behind the sofa. Gee, not here either. Oh, Rochester!
Yes, boss!
Are you sure you hid the Easter eggs in this room? Huh?
Keep looking. You're getting warm.
Warm, huh? Oh, I know where you hid them. I bet you put the eggs in my violin case.
Your violin case?
Yeah.
I wouldn't touch that thing if I was full of penicillin.
Now, let's see. Oh, I know where they are. Rochester, hold this chair steady for me while I stand on it.
Okay.
Steady now. Yep. Yeah, here they are. Four eggs.
Doggone, I never thought you'd find the ones I hid in the chandelier.
Rochester, I saw the Lost Weekend, too. You know.
Yeah, but Mr. Milan got a better payoff than you did.
I guess so. You know, Rochester, it was awfully nice of you to color and hide these eggs so I could have fun on Easter Sunday. What made you do it?
Well, last year I didn't, and when you got up in the morning, you cried your little blue eyes out.
I did not. I never cry. Nothing could upset me that much. What are you laughing at?
When Shirley Temple got married, you locked yourself in the room for 3 days.
Rochester.
And when you finally came out, you tore up all your pictures of Margaret O'Brien.
Oh, stop making up stories. Imagine me and Margaret O'Brien. She's young enough to be my daughter.
So was Theda Bear, but that didn't slow you down.
I've told you dozens of times that Theda and I were just good friends. Now, Rochester, I want you to take these four eggs and put them away for me.
But, boss, I hit five of them all together.
Five? Well, let's see. Maybe the other one is hidden behind the... I'll get it, Rochester. Maybe they're delivering my new car.
Hello, Jack.
Why, Mary, happy Easter. Come on in. Say, that's a good-looking Easter outfit you have on. And that hat.
Do you really like the hat, Jack?
Like it? Why, it looks beautiful on you.
You think it looks good on me, you should have seen it on Tom Brenneman.
Tom Brenneman? Oh, did you go to his program, Breakfast in Hollywood?
Sure, I go all the time. I was even there the morning you won the orchid.
Ah, yes. Gee, I'll never forget the look on the loser's face. Poor thing, she came all the way from Iowa. But, Mary, all dressed up in your Easter outfit, where have you been?
Well, Jack, you know on Easter Sunday, most of the movie stars walk down Wilshire Boulevard, and I went along to see the parade.
Oh. You see any celebrities?
Oh, sure. I saw lots of them. I saw Bing Crosby.
Crosby, eh? Was Bing dressed up for Easter?
Was he? I've never seen him so formal. He was wearing patent leather shoes, gray spats, striped pants, and a cutaway pajama top.
Who else did you see on the boulevard, Mary?
Well, I saw Gary Cooper and his wife.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Cooper was wearing a beautiful green dress with fox trim and gold accessories. She looked lovely.
And what was Gary wearing?
Brown shoes, tan slacks, and a light jacket.
Oh, did he have a hat on?
I couldn't tell. It was cloudy.
Oh, oh.
And I saw Shirley Temple.
I'm not interested in her.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. I thought you'd forgiven her already. Now, let me think. Oh, yes, I saw Van Johnson.
Van Johnson?
Yes, and you know, Jack, I feel very sorry for the poor guy. Every step he took, he was followed by dozens of girls. They just kept trailing after him for miles.
For miles? My goodness, you'd think those silly kids would get tired.
Yeah. Jack, may I have a chair? My feet are killing me.
Here, Mary, you can sit in this armchair.
Thanks. Gee, it's good to sit in.
Hey, boss, Miss Livingston just found the other egg.
Well, hurry, Rochester. Get her a towel. And... Never mind the towel. Just bring a handful of corn. You know, Mary, every Easter there's another... I'll get it, Rochester. That must be my new car. Phil!
Hiya, Jackson. Hello, Livy. Long time no see.
Hello, Curly.
Come on in. Say, Phil. Phil, we missed you in San Francisco.
I know. I heard the program.
What?
You need me, Jackson. You need me.
Phil.
Like scotch needs soda, your program just don't fizz without the kid, Jackson.
Phil, I need you like a moose needs a hat rack. Believe me.
Anyway, you should have been up there with us, Phil. We had a wonderful time. San Francisco's such a swell town.
You don't have to tell me about Frisco, Livy. I organized my first band there.
You what, Phil?
I started my first band up there.
San Francisco's sure gone through a lot. Your band and the earthquake. They can take it, can't they?
Gee whiz, I'll never forget my first band, Jackson. It was just a little three-piece outfit of saxophone, piano, and drums. And then we added Frankie, my guitar player.
Say, Phil, how'd you happen to hire Frankie?
Well, we didn't exactly hire him. You see, we was playing at a wedding and they couldn't afford to pay us, so they gave us the groom.
The groom? What happened to the bride?
Oh, she changed her name, started singing with some other band. I don't know what...
Really? What's her name now?
Carmen Lombardo.
Phil, for your information, Carmen Lombardo is a man.
Well, maybe it was Carmen Miranda. I don't remember girls' names. I don't fool with dames no more. What do I know about it?
Can I get it, boss?
No, I better answer the door. I'm expecting my new car.
Hey, wait a minute, Jackson. I can't believe it. Did you buy a new car?
No, he entered Bob Hope's jingle contest.
Yeah.
Jack, you didn't send in that jingle you wrote.
Certainly, and I think it ought to win.
What was the jingle he wrote, Livy?
My favorite brunette, and I love him still, is Honest Abe on a $5 bill.
Well, I thought that was pretty good. Go ahead and answer it, Rochester.
Okay. Boss, boss, it is your new car. It's a beautiful light gray color. Uh-oh, my mistake. It's Mr. Wilson in a new suit.
Well, steer him. Show him in, Rochester.
Hello, Jack. Mary, Phil.
Hello, Don.
Great kid.
Gosh, Don, you sure look handsome in your Easter outfit.
Yeah, Donzie, where'd you buy that nifty-looking suit?
Oh, same place I get all my clothes, at Hart, Schaffner, Marks, and O'Reilly.
All right, don't you mean just Hart, Schaffner, and Marks?
When I buy a suit, they call in extra help.
That I can understand. The fellow who makes your pants was an engineer on Boulder Dam. But, Don, we were just talking about being up in San Francisco. Did you have a good time up there?
Oh, did I? You know, Jack, I love that town. They have the most wonderful restaurants and the best food in the world.
They certainly have.
I ate at John's Rendezvous, then I ate at the Tonga Room, then I ate the Papagaya Room in the Fairmont, then I ate at Roberts and the Nugget, and then I ate at Omar Khayyam.
Gee.
And then on the second day, I ate at...
What?
The next day, I was eating at the Mark Hopkins, and right in the middle of dinner, they ran out of food.
The Mark Hopkins?
No, San Francisco.
Oh. Well, speaking of food, has made me hungry. Hey, let's go out in the kitchen, kids, and get some sandwich.
What? Oh, you want to feed
us? Yes, for sure. Those sandwiches were very good.
They certainly were.
Thanks. Mr. Wilson, would you like another bucket of coffee?
He's had enough. Now, look, kid.
Isn't anybody going to say hello to me?
Oh, Dennis. Dad, when did you come in?
Oh, I've been here all the time. I was standing behind Mr. Wilson's right leg.
Oh. Well, say, kid, I tried to reach you on the phone last night, but nobody answered. Where were you?
Oh, my mother took me to the circus.
Well, do you enjoy it?
Yeah, and you should see those girls on the flying trapeze. They wore tights.
Dennis, they always wear tights.
Say, those trapeze acts are dangerous. Did any of them fall?
No, I guess they were all buttoned up.
She didn't mean that.
Oh.
Hey, how is the circus this year, kid?
Oh, it's swell. In one act, they shot a man out of the cannon, and he landed right in my mother's lap.
My God, what did your mother do?
She hung on to him and yelled, "I have a man in the balcony, doctor."
Oh, boy. Dennis, wasn't your father there?
He was the one who aimed the cannon at my mother.
Oh, stop. Aim the cannon at his mother. Anything. They say anything.
Dennis, how'd you like the clowns?
Oh, they were all right, I guess.
What do you mean, you guess? The clowns are big stars. They're very funny.
Then how come they've only got one show?
Dennis, just because you and Phil have two shows doesn't mean that everybody has to have them.
Let me tell you something, Jackson. Hold it a minute. Not only have I got two shows, but while you were in San Francisco, I signed up to make a new picture.
A new picture, Phil? What's the name of it?
The Keg and I. Oh, Harris, you may not be Frederick Marsh, but you're the best years of anybody's life.
Now I've heard everything. Phil, let me tell you something. You were only... Phil, you were only kidding about making a picture. I'd like to get a new cast sometime. But it may surprise you to know that right now there's a deal pending where I'm going to be starred in a picture for Samuel Goldwyn.
Samuel Goldwyn?
Yes. He makes great pictures, and he's the kind of a producer I want to be with.
I'll bet Mr. Goldwyn has to work very hard to support his family. He's got 30 daughters.
What?
The Goldwyn girls.
They're not his daughters, then. But anyway, Don, if this deal we're making comes through, it'll really be sensational. You know, Mr. Goldwyn is begging me to consider his offer.
Begging you?
What are you laughing at?
Well, tell him what happened yesterday when you were out to his studio.
Mary.
Hey, what was it, Livy?
Mary, if you open your mouth, I'll never tell you another thing again.
Come on, Mary, tell us what happened when Jack went out to see Mr. Goldwyn.
Well, about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, Rochester drove Jack out to the studio.
There's the main gate, Rochester. I'll get off here. Uh, Rochester, you wait right here in the car for me.
Boss, do you mind if I lean against that new Cadillac over there? It's good for my morale.
No, as long as you wait here. Gee, what a high-class studio. Look at the way they got Frederick March's picture plastered all over.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Huh?
You can't go through this gate without a pass.
A pass? Well, perhaps you don't recognize me. If you knew who you were talking to, you'd let me go right in.
Oh, no, I wouldn't, Mr. Benny.
Oh, well, maybe I have a pass in my wallet. I'll take a look.
Well?
Wait till I open it. There.
First time this year, Mr. Benny?
No. Now, let's see. Here's a pass for Warner Brothers. Here's one for Universal International. Here's one for Biograph. Oh, here's something I don't need anymore. See, my draft card. You know, you can tear them up now, you know.
You could have torn that one up in 1918.
You don't have to be so... Oh, wait a minute, here it is. Gate pass to Samuel Goldwyn Studios.
Now, Mr. Goldwyn's office is right through that door. You go right down the hall and turn to the left.
Thank you. Da-da-dee-da-dum, da-dee-da-dum, da-dum, da-dee-da-da-dum. Well, hello.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Da-dum, dum-dee-da-dee-dee, bum-ba-bum. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Dum-dee-da-dee-da-dum, da-dee-da-dee. Oh, hello.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
See, those Goldwyn girls are beautiful. Let's see. Gee, won't Mr. Goldwyn be surprised to see me? I hope he's... Oh, this must be his office here. I beg your pardon, miss, but is this Mr. Goldwyn's office?
Yes, sir.
Well, will you tell him that Mr. Benny is here to see him?
One moment, please. Mr. Goldwyn, Mr. Benny is here to see you. I'll find out. What is it you wish to see Mr. Goldwyn about?
A picture.
He wishes to see you about a picture. Yes, sir. He told me to give you one out of the top drawer.
No. You misunderstood. You see, I want to talk to him about making a picture. You see, a movie.
Oh, just a moment. Yeah. Mr. Goldwyn, Mr. Benny wants to talk to you about making a picture. Yes, sir. Mr. Goldwyn is busy right now. Would you care to wait?
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Goodbye, Mr. Goldwyn.
Well, Hoagie Carmichael.
Hello, Jack.
Gosh, Hoagie, here I am waiting to go into the office, and you came out. I didn't know you were in there.
I've been in that Goldwyn's office since 10 o'clock this morning.
It's 10 o'clock this morning, eh? What were you doing in there all the time?
I was just trying to convince him that my name is Hoagie and not Hugo.
Oh, yes. It happened at the Academy Award ceremony when Mr. Goldwyn accidentally called you Hugo instead of Hoagie, but it was just a slight mistake.
A slight mistake? Jack, for 25 years, I built up the name of Hoagie. Hoagie Carmichael. And it wasn't easy. I remember when I first started writing songs, I used to sit up nights, no food, hardly enough money to pay the rent. I was ready to quit, but my wife encouraged me. She said, Hoagie, you can do it. My mother encouraged me. She said, Hoagie, don't give up. My friends encouraged me, Hoagie, stick to it.
And they were right. I can remember those great songs. Stardust by Hoagie Carmichael. Lazy Bones by Hoagie Carmichael. Old Buttermilk Sky by Hoagie Carmichael. They were all great, Hoagie.
And who gets all the credit? Some no-talent jerk named Hugo. Well,
Well, Hoagie, maybe I can help you.
Oh, I wish you would, Jack. All I am now is an unknown character with $1 million.
Whoops.
Did you say something, Jack?
No, it's just that when I hear figures like that, something happens. Something happens in my stomach, you know?
You mean just because I said $1 million?
Whoops. I did it again. But getting back to you, Hoagie, don't worry. Hoagie, I'll clear up your name for you. I've got a big listening audience, and if you want to come on my program and do one of your songs, I'll let everybody know it was written by Hoagie Carmichael, not Hugo.
Gosh, if you do that, I'd be very grateful, Jack. I tell you what I'll do. I'll sing Old Buttermilk Sky with a special arrangement that will include your quartet, The Sportsman.
My quartet? No, I don't think that would be...
Now, just a minute. I've got a copy of it right here. Let me show you what I mean. Try to visualize it, Jack.
What?
Well, here's the way it would go. The introduction starts with full orchestra. Old Buttermilk Sky, I'm a-keeping my eye peeled on you. What's a good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight?
Tonight.
Big Jack, could you visualize what I'm telling you?
Could I? Hoagie, I could even hear the applause. Wow. That's a wonderful song. Hoagie, would you mind autographing that copy for me?
Oh, not at all.
Thanks.
So long, Jack.
So long. Gee, that was nice of Hoagie to... Well, what do you know? He signed it Hugo Carmichael. He really is confused, you know.
Mr. Goldwyn is waiting.
Oh, yes, thank you. Mr. Goldwyn?
Thanks.
Mr. Goldwyn?
Come right in.
Mr. Goldwyn, I hope you don't mind my breaking in without an appointment.
No. It's always nice to see you. Sit down, Bob.
No. See, my name is Jack Benny.
Oh, yes. Well, Jack, what can I do for you?
Mr. Goldwyn, I've come here to give you the greatest opportunity of your life.
Opportunity?
Yes. When I tell you what I've got in my mind, it'll make you the greatest producer in the motion picture industry. This is an opportunity that comes only once...
Pardon me. Hello. Hello, Fame Home Magazine. Yes, I produced the best years of our lives. Yes, that picture won 9 awards. For the best picture, for direction, for editing, for musical score, for story, for best actor, for best supporting actor, a special award for Harold Russell, and also the Tolbert Award. That's right. Thank you very much. Now, Jack... What was this opportunity you were going to give me?
Well, let's put it this way. Mr. Goldwyn, your studio won many Academy Awards this year, and I thought maybe you'd like to win them again next year.
I certainly would. What is your suggestion?
Well, have you ever thought of making a picture starring Jack Benny?
No.
Let me help you up, Mr. Goldwyn.
No, let me rest here a while.
Oh.
What were you saying, Jack?
Well, what I was getting at...
Pardon me, Mr. Goldwyn.
Excuse me, Jack. What is it, Pat?
Oh, Mr. Goldwyn, 2 blueprints have been submitted for the set on Stage 8, the reproduction of the George Washington Bridge overlooking New York Harbor.
Yes?
Now, on both sets, the harbor is always in evidence. However, set number 1 with just the harbor can be constructed for only $1 million.
Whoops!
Did you say something, Jack?
No. No, not a thing.
On the other hand, in set number two, we can build the harbor, the bridge, and the skyline for an extra million.
Whoops.
So you see, it's entirely up to you, Mr. Goldwyn, whether you want to spend $1 million.
Whoops.
Or $2 million.
Whoops, whoops.
What's the matter with you, Jack? Huh? You sound like a tugboat.
I'm sorry.
Pat, I'll take number two.
Yes, Mr. Goldwyn.
Now, what were you talking about?
Mr. Goldwyn, I'm not going to beat around the bush. If you make a picture with me, I'm sure we'll win the Academy Award next year. I've got hidden talents. That's Snoogey. No, really, I've got hidden talents.
Maybe so. I haven't the time to play hide and seek.
But Mr. Goldwyn...
Now, look, Jack, I'm a busy man.
I know you are, Mr. Goldwyn, but it isn't as though I'm pleading for a job. I made lots of pictures. Call up Warner Brothers. They'll be very happy to recommend me to you. They'd be happy to recommend me to anybody. I mean, look, Mr. Goldwyn, if you'd only think it over, I promise
you... Pardon me, Mr. Goldwyn.
What is it now, Pat?
We got to do something about the picture we're shooting on stage 5. The script we have now is a little dated. The hero was a bombardier on a B-29.
You're right. We should change it to something post-war, something civilian.
Well, why don't you make him a tail gunner on a Studebaker?
Let me help you up, Pat. He's a comedian. We'll talk about it later.
Tail gunner on a Studebaker.
Well, I thought it was very funny, didn't it?
Maybe so, Jack. In fact, I think you're very good on the radio.
Radio. I want pictures. Mr. Goldwyn, you gotta help me. I want to win an Academy Award.
Jack, let's talk about it some other time.
What?
I'm way behind my appointments. I spent the whole morning talking to Hoagie.
Hoagie?
Yes, Hoagie Michelson.
Goldwyn, that's Hoagie Carmichael.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, now getting back to me, Mr. Goldwyn, why can't you produce a picture that'll make me win the Academy Award? Why? Tell me why.
Well, Jack, maybe I can. Let me see how I look without those thick glasses that you have on. Take them off.
All right. There. Now see how I look with my glasses off? See how blue my eyes are? You know, that'll help if we make it in Technicolor. And look how long my lashes are. Real, too. As a matter of fact, Mr. Goldwyn...
You can put your glasses back on. Mr. Goldwyn went out to lunch.
But how could he leave? I was standing against the door.
He jumped out the window.
Out the window? Let me see.
He didn't get away, boss. I caught him.
Well, hold him. I'll be right down. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Mr. Samuel Goldwyn for appearing on my program. His next release will be The Secret Life of Walter Mitty with my friend Danny Kaye. I also want to thank Hoagie Carmichael, who appears with the courtesy of the makers of the Fifth Avenue Candy Bar. And ladies and gentlemen, be sure to listen in next Sunday, as we haven't the slightest idea what we're going to do. Good night, folks.
The National Broadcasting Company.
And it's my turn to say a few words there. That was from April 6, 1947, the Jack Benny Show. And we've got another Jack Benny Show from the following week. And we'll get to that in just a second.
The many sounds, the many faces of jazz and improvised music can be heard on the Spirits Rejoice radio program every Tuesday from 6 to 10 p.m. right here, WHFR.FM, WHFR Dearborn.
Do you want to make a difference in your community? Volunteer with your local fire department. operational, and non-operational positions are available, and training is provided. Anyone can be a volunteer. You just need the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. When your community needs you, will you be there to answer the call? Learn more about volunteering at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
The Jack Benny Program. Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go out to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills, where we find Jack trying to fix his broken phonograph.
Hand me the screwdriver, Rochester. I want to tighten the last screw on this phonograph.
Here you are.
There. That ought to fix it. I'll turn it on. It was too fast.
What record was that?
Bing Crosby singing White Christmas.
It sounded more like Effie Boone singing Mother McGree.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't understand what's wrong with this phonograph. It's never given me trouble before.
Well, boss, maybe if I took this and...
Oh, Rochester, now look what you've done. You've knocked the horn off. And you tipped over the dog, too. This is Be Kind to Animals Week.
I'm sorry, boss. Let's take another look at the motor and see what's wrong.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Here's a loose wire, and I see where it's supposed to go. I'll just take it and plug it in... Pull out the plug! Pull out the plug! Wow! Wow, what a shock! He was enough to make my hair stand on end.
You want me to go in your room and see?
Do I'm wearing it. The show won't be as short as you think. Now, there's the wires fixed. Let's try some other records. Let's try some other records. What have we got in that album?
Let me see. I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles, Dardanella, The Sheik of Araby, I Found a $1 Million
Whoops.
Baby. Keep the home fires burning, Katie, and after the ball is over.
No, I don't want to spoil those. Play some of the old ones. Go ahead.
Boss, any records older than these are on cylinders.
Put some of these on. I want to try it out.
Yes, sir. Shall we put in a new needle?
No, Roger. The needle we have was guaranteed to play 1,000 records. We've only used it 873 times.
What a memory.
Memory, nothing. Count the notches in the side of the phonograph. Now, let's turn it on and see if the record changer is working there.
Yes.
Rochester, what's happened? Why is the phonograph throwing the records up in the air?
We never should have fixed it with those parts out of the toaster.
Well, I think that... Come in!
Hello, Jack. What are you doing?
Rochester and I were just fixing... Duck, Mary, here comes the Sheik of Araby! Rochester, turn that thing off. We'll use it without the changer.
Yes, sir.
Jack, what's going on here?
Rochester and I fixed the phonograph.
Again? Why, don't you get rid of that old thing and buy a new one?
Mary, this phonograph isn't so old.
Go on. Edison's fingerprints are still on it.
What?
And she means Edison the boy.
Look, Mary, the phonograph works all right now. I mean, I not only fixed it, but I modernized it and brought it right up to date.
I'll bet you did.
Well, if you don't believe it, try it yourself.
All right. Have you got two nickels for a dime?
Oh, Mary, put in the dime. Be a sport. No, it plays three records that way.
If you put in a quarter, you get a sandwich, a cup of coffee, and a dive to the movie star's home.
We haven't perfected that yet. Go ahead, Mary, put in the dime.
I'll take your word for it. Say, Jack, am I the first one here for rehearsal?
Yeah, but the others will be here pretty soon. By the way, Mary, I haven't seen you in a couple of days. What's new?
Oh, nothing much. Oh, I got a letter from Mama yesterday.
A letter from your mother? Well, what does the Happy Chandler of Plainfield have to say?
I'll read it to you.
Go ahead.
My darling daughter, Mary, just a few lines to let you know that we are all well and hope you are the same. We've been very busy with the spring planting. Your sister Babe helped Papa with the plowing. She did a swell job, but I'll be glad when the horse gets better.
Mary, your sister Babe pulled the plow?
Sure, Jack. She's as strong as a horse.
Yes, and when you put a straw hat on her, you can't...
Jack, please.
Excuse me. Go ahead with the letter.
And Mary, your sister Babe has a new boyfriend.
Yeah.
He is the local undertaker here, and I wish he'd give him up. I'm sick of him coming into the house with those secondhand flowers. But even though he's an undertaker, he's a very progressive and advertises on the radio. His theme song is How Are Things in Rigor Mortis?
You know, it could be To Each His Urn. Hey, I'm hot today. Everybody's hot today. Yeah, I wonder if I can get a guest shot on this program.
And Mary, they've nearly finished building the new high school here. It's very beautiful and modern and will cost over $1 million.
Whoops.
Jack, are you still doing that?
I'm sorry. Go on with the letter.
Your father's lodge held their annual celebration last Saturday night. Your father was the guest of honor, and every time he stood up to make his speech, he banged his head.
Banged his head?
He kept complaining that the ceiling was too low.
Okay.
It wasn't until the party was half over that he found out he was under the table.
Oh.
So, he made his speech to three cockroaches and a midget who'd come in out of the rain.
Your mother's a regular Milton Berle.
Well, that's about all the news, Mary. So we'll close with love and kisses from your mother, Hopalong Livingston.
What a letter. You know, Mary, I can't understand your mother.
Oh, Jack, there's nothing wrong with Mama.
Maybe not, but I wouldn't be married to her for $1 million.
Whoops!
Mary, you too?
Yeah, I must be contagious.
Yeah. Hey, that must be some of the gang. Come in! Well, it's Dennis.
Where?
It's you. Come on in. Hello, kid.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Dennis.
Fine. Gee, it sure is hot out.
Well, it certainly is.
This morning, my uncle fried an egg on the sidewalk.
He did?
Yeah. Yesterday, he fried an egg on the sidewalk, too.
No kidding.
Yeah. You know where you can find an apartment?
Oh, so that's the reason. Gee, I feel sorry for your uncle.
Yeah, so do I. He likes his eggs boiled.
Oh, fine.
Dennis, it's really a shame that your uncle has to live out on the street.
Yeah, what a place to spend a honeymoon.
All right. Now, look, Dennis, the scripts aren't here yet, so we can run over your song before rehearsal. What number are you going to do?
Well, I made a record of a new song, and I brought it with me. Would you like to hear it?
Sure, kid, sure. Put it on the phonograph.
Okay. Is this deductible for my income tax?
Oh, sure. It's a business expense, you know. Now, go ahead. Turn it on.
Okay.
Jack, what are you doing with that knife?
I'm putting another notch on the side of the phonograph. Come on, kid. Let's hear the song.
When am I gonna
kiss you good morning, just like I kissed you good night. How can it be a beautiful morning if you are not in my sight? I'm not the kind who goes for all those hit and run kisses. I won't be satisfied until we're Mr. and Mrs. When am I gonna kiss you good morning, just like I kiss you good night? I'd like to kiss you good morning, just like I kiss you good night. When can I put the ring on your finger? When will we do it upright? We hide away in some cafe, the candlelight's bewitching. I'd rather have those ham and eggs in our little kitchen. But when am I gonna kiss you good morning, just like I kiss you?
That was a very good song, and I'm glad you recorded it. It'll sound swell on the... Dennis, where'd you get that sandwich?
It came out of the phonograph.
Well, what do you know? It worked.
Yeah, but not very well.
Huh?
What a sandwich. A slice of ham between two records.
Well, that's sort of a double decca. Mary, I had my glasses on. Anyway, that was a good joke.
I thought it was corny.
Oh, you did, eh?
Yeah, you want to make something out of it?
Yes.
Hit him again, Mary.
Dennis, just because my humor goes over your head, don't think that you're... Come in! Well, here's Phil, Don, and the quartet. Hello, fellas.
Hiya, Jackson.
Hello, Jack.
Well, boys, as soon as the scripts get here, we can start rehearsal.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, Phil, you look wonderful. Nice color in your cheeks and everything.
Yes, sir. You can congratulate me, Jackson. I'm a changed man.
A changed man?
Jackson, I finally realized I was on the wrong road. I had to do something.
Well, what made you realize it?
Well, the other night, I went to bed like I always do. I had a good night's sleep, and when I got up in the morning, I staggered all over the room, reached for a chair, and fell flat on my face.
When did that happen?
Thursday morning. Phil, that was the earthquake. Holy smoke, and I gave up drinking.
Phil.
Wait a minute, Jackson. Hand me that phone. I gotta call Frankie before it's too late.
Why, what's the matter?
He's on his way to a sanitarium to take the cure.
Well, let him go, Phil. Believe me, it won't harm him permanently, I'm sure you will.
Hey, Mr. Benny, you know what happened to me during the earthquake?
What, kid?
My mother was giving me a haircut. When things started to shake, she cut one of my ears off.
The what?
She cut
Dennis,
one of my ears off.
You've got two ears.
Now, yes.
Now, cut that off! That's the silliest thing I ever heard. Now, yes.
Jack.
What?
To do some shopping. What about the rehearsal?
Well, the scripts will be here in a couple of minutes.
Oh, say, Jack, I meant to ask you, how did you finally make out with Sam Goldwyn last week? Are you going to do a picture for him?
No, Don. You see, Mr. Goldwyn wants me to, but his next picture isn't my type. It's going to be Les Miserables.
Les Miserables?
Yes, by Victor Hoagie.
That's Victor Hugo. You got him mixed up with Hoagie Michelson.
Yes. Yeah, well, anyway, Mr. Goldwyn and I are going to work out... Hey, that must be the scripts. Come in.
Hello, 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 everybody. Long time no see.
Well, Steve. Hey, kids, it's my publicity man, Steve Bradley.
Well, believe it.
Hey, well, Steve, what brings you around? What's up?
Any, I'm Wolverine, we're going to do something about your publicity.
Publicity?
Yes, sir. Last week I conducted the popularity poll, and compared to the poll I made 3 years ago, you've only moved up one place.
One place? When did that happen?
When Hitler killed himself.
Now, wait a minute, Steve.
No time to lose, Benny. I thought it was so urgent that when I couldn't reach you by telephone, I sent a message by carrier pigeon.
Carrier pigeon? Oh, that must have been the pigeon that landed on my windowsill.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't you see the message tied to his ankle?
Message? Rochester.
Don't look at me, boss. You ate the legs.
Yeah, I thought the paper on that leg was a panty there. Anyway, Steve, I appreciate your worrying about me, but I don't need any publicity. As a matter of fact, only 2 weeks ago, my picture was on the cover of Newsweek magazine.
Hey, Jackson, was that your face?
Certainly.
How do you like that? I thought it was an ad for Spam.
That's because the photographer told me to stick out my tongue.
Say, someone turns the page and he's got a place to wet his fingers.
Yeah, they think of everything.
All right, Benny, I think that picture on the cover of Newsweek was great, but you got to follow it up with something, some sort of a stunt.
Now, wait a minute, Steve. I don't want any more of your stunts. The last time you had an idea, you wanted me to go to Texas, climb into the Big Inch pipeline, and swim all the way to New York. And you had a time so I'd crawl out the other end on Groundhog Day. No more of that for me.
I know, but this new idea is different. Benny, I've got an idea that'll make you loved and respected by everybody in the country.
Me?
Yes, sir. We'll take one of the great men in American history, Abraham Lincoln.
Lincoln?
Yes, sir. From now on, you're going to do everything Lincoln did. You're going to act like Lincoln, talk like Lincoln. Yes, sir, even walk like Lincoln.
But, Steve, I don't know how Lincoln walked.
Don't you remember?
Now, look, Steve, unless you've got an idea that makes sense, I don't want any part of it. I don't want any... Now go home and find...
Wait a minute. Hold it.
What?
Why didn't I think of this idea before? What an idea!
All right, what is it?
Baseball.
Huh?
Look, Bob Hope bought himself the Cleveland Indians. Bing Crosby bought the Pittsburgh Pirates. And today, what is everyone talking about?
The weather.
Dennis.
Is it unusual?
No. What are you getting at, Steve?
Benny, you've got to have a baseball team.
Well, look, Steve, I like the idea, but a baseball team is liable to run into a lot of money.
Now, leave it to me, Benny. I'll find you a team that won't cost you much dough.
Good.
I'll get a team that's unknown with the proper training in a year or so. You can sell them to somebody else and turn yourself a net profit of $1 million.
Say, that sounds pretty...
Jack, how come you didn't go whoops?
When it's coming my way, there's no need for it. Now, all right, Steve, it's a great idea. Go out and get me a baseball team.
Leave it to me, Benny. So long, everybody.
You know, kids, I think Bradley's got a good idea with that baseball team.
He certainly has, Jack. And look at the commercials you can do.
Commercials with baseball?
Why, certainly. You've got your quartet, the sportsmen, right here, and they can take a song and fit it to anything.
What are you talking about?
Have you got a record of Take Me Out to the Ball Game?
That's one of our new ones.
Yes. I'll put it on.
Here's a nickel, Jack.
Now, this one's on the house.
American League Stadium in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and the old ball game is tied up. It's the last half of the ninth, and the bases are loaded. Speedy Riggs is on first, F.B. Boone is on second, and Greenberg's on third. And now, coming up to bat is Basil Rysdale.
Was wonderful. You know, and I think... Don, I think this baseball idea is going to work out great. It'll give me a lot of publicity.
Certainly, Jack. You need publicity.
Yeah, you've only got one show.
Anyway, I think Steve Bradley is right. If having a baseball team is good for Hope and Crosby, it's good for me, too.
You want to know something, Jackson? I used to play baseball. In fact, I was on a team where every player was the band leader.
Really, Phil?
Yeah, but they threw me out.
Why?
Every time I slid into third base, I'd spike Jones. No wonder you can't get the first base, Harris. When they handed out brains, they threw you a curve.
Phil, nobody threw you a curve. You just sat in the bleachers too long without a hat. Believe me.
You know, Mr. Benny, a bunch of my friends came over to my house yesterday and asked me to play baseball.
Oh, did you play?
Yeah, but every time I hit the ball, I broke a window.
What?
I broke 7 windows.
Well, kid, you must have played too close to the house when you went outside.
Oh, outside.
You mean to say you played baseball inside the house?
Yeah, you want to make something out of it?
Oh, be quiet!
Jack, why don't you stop kidding around? I got some shopping to do. Let's get on with the rehearsal.
Mary, we can't. The scripts aren't here
they
yet.
They aren't?
No.
Then why don't you call up NBC and see what's wrong?
All right, I will. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. I know a way to save 80 cents. I'll drill 2 holes and we'll look through the fence.
Say, Mabel, what is it, Gertrude? Your outside line is flashing.
You get it, will you?
Okay. National Broadcasting Company. Oh, hello. What? Oh, just a minute, I'll connect you. Mabel, it's Mr. Benny.
I wonder what Spam Face wants now.
He wants me to connect him with the mimeograph department because they haven't delivered his scripts yet.
Scripts? Well, how do you like that? And he palms himself off as an ad-lib comedian.
Yeah. He couldn't ad-lib a click if he had false teeth.
Ain't it the truth?
But I don't care if he can ad-lib or not. I think he's a cute schmo.
Why should you think he's cute? He's gone out with me more times than he has with you.
He has not.
He has too.
Oh, Mabel, let's not argue. When we look like we do, we should be happy that we've got each other.
Mr. Benny to pop the question any day now.
Pop the question? Why, Mabel, how do you know? What happened? What did he say to you? Tell me all about
it. Your switchboard is buzzing.
I won't answer till you tell me. Come on, Mabel, don't keep me in suspense. I'm getting all over goose pimples. Don't hold out on me. You've agitated my curiosity. Tell me what...
Go through the switchboard.
Oh, okay. Due to a strike, only emergency calls will be handled. Tell me what happened. What did he say to you?
He didn't say anything. He just kissed me.
Why, Mabel Flapsaddle.
Yeah, and I felt so silly.
Why?
When he kisses me with those thick glasses on, I feel like I'm window shopping.
That's what you mean.
You do?
Yeah. One time when he was kissing me, I saw my reflection in his glasses and I thought someone was watching us. Anyway, Mabel, what I wanted to say...
Operator, was... operator. I want the mimeograph to pop out. What? Well, when you get him, tell him to send the scripts out to my house. Goodbye. Well, kids, there's nothing to do but wait. We won't be able to rehearse until...
Hold everything, Benny. I'm back. Come back.
Steve.
Yes, Benny, you wanted a baseball team, and Bradley didn't let you down.
That's swell.
Just sign this contract, and the team is yours for $1,000.
Good, good. There you are. Now, what's the name of the team?
The BBBs.
BBBs? What's that?
Benny's Buxom Bloomer Girls.
Bloomer Girls?
Certainly, Benny. I can see it now all over the sports page. Pictures of Bob Hope and his Indians. Bing Crosby and his Pirates. Jack Benny and his Bloomers.
Steve, you can't do this to me.
Come on, Benny, I'll see you out at the field.
Steve, how do you like that? A girls' team. I got a good mind.
Jack, your slip is showing.
Oh, quiet. Had to get me a girls' baseball team. I need that like a moose needs a hat rack. Where'd I hear that? Oh, yes, on my repeat broadcast last week. Can't understand why I didn't get a laugh. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was too clever.
Too clever, too clever.
Quiet, Polly. Well, everybody's gone home. I might as well practice on my violin. Oh, Rochester. Rochester, give me A, will you? That's close enough. Better practice my exercises first. No, I better not jazz it up yet. I'm not ready for it yet. Maybe I ought to practice intermezzo.
NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
And there you have Jack Benny from April 13, 1947. And we've got one more from the same series from the following week. We have another Jack Benny show. That's coming up. This is Radio Vault, your place to be for classic comedy, variety, and sometimes a light drama. That all happens every Tuesday between 10 in the morning and 1 o'clock here on 89.3 WHFR. We are, of course, the station making the waves.
Susan McGraw here, inviting you to join me every Friday afternoon from 1 until 2 p.m. for the WHFR Journal. Local news and views, information about our campus community and our community at large, events that are coming up, opportunities to participate in, as well as information and interviews that might just make life a little bit easier. Every Friday, 1 until 2 p.m., the WHFR Journal, only 9.3 FM. Join us.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The Black Male and Queens Focus Group is a social network that challenges the perspectives related to the academics of Black students. It is a niche where those who choose to participate can express themselves and can be helpful to one's academic success. The group is open to all HFC students. You can join their meetings in person in Building 9, or you can join their meetings online via Zoom. For more information, go to hfcc.edu/bmqfg. Visit the website hfcc.edu/bmqfg.
The Jack.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
The Jack Benny Program. Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, over these many years that I've been introducing our scintillating star, my one regret has been that I'm not a poet. For if I were, I would paint a word picture with colorful phrases.
What a beautiful thought, Don. I can just imagine you a poet. Henry Wadsworth Fatfellow. Continue, Don.
However, you don't have to be a Shelley or a Keats to...
I'll get it, Don. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny. This is Rochester.
Rochester, you certainly picked a fine time to call. Why aren't you listening to the program?
That's why I called, boss. There's something wrong with the radio.
Oh, well, maybe there's a break in the electric cord. You know, the one that runs from the radio to where we've got it plugged in.
I thought of that, boss, so I traced it. I started at the radio, went around the baseboard, up to the windowsill, out the window, across the driveway, through the hedge, and right to the plug on Mr. Coleman's back porch.
Say, Rochester, I hope nobody saw you.
Well, just as I reached the porch, Mrs. Coleman came out, so I ducked behind the hedge and meowed like a cat.
Did you fool her?
I think so. She left two saucers of milk.
Two?
Yeah, one had a note on it. This one's for Mr. Benny.
Good, I'll have it when I get home. Anyway, Rochester, if the cord is plugged in right, maybe there's something wrong with the radio itself. Did you check the tubes?
Mm-hmm.
The condenser?
Mm-hmm.
The transformer?
Mm-hmm.
The dials?
Boss, I even put murine in the magic eye.
Oh.
I don't know what to do. I hate to miss your program.
Well, I've got an idea, Rochester. I'll leave the receiver off the hook, and you'll be able to hear the whole show over the telephone.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Don, let's get on with the program.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I was saying, even though I'm not a poet, today I'd like to introduce our star with a little poem.
A poem?
Yes. To Jack Benny. I love my boss, but he's so cheap, he only spends a slow buck.
Slow buck?
His suits are from Montgomery Ward, his hair from Sears and Roebuck.
What?
And here he is, Jack Benny.
Again, this is Jack Benny talking. Hair from Sears and Roebuck. Don, I can write poetry true. As a matter of fact, I have one about you.
Oh, about me?
Yes. Reynolds flew around the world in a plane that was made to order. But if he tried to fly around you, he wouldn't get south of the border. Hello, Jackson. Your name may not be John Greenleaf, but you're much wittier. Yes, sir.
Oh, Jack, how can you compare flying around the world with me? I'm not so fat.
You're not, eh? Don, there's a 3-hour difference in time between your belt buckle and back pocket. Next week, it'll be 4 hours.
Hey, Jackson, if you really want to
get... Wait a minute, Phil. I want to see what Rochester thought of that joke. Hello? 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 Rochester, hello?
Hello? Hello?
Rochester, I just told a joke. Where were you?
I had to answer the door. The man from the cleaners was here.
What did he want?
He found a 50-cent piece on the floor, and he wondered if it came out of your suit. I told him it wasn't yours.
Rochester, what makes you so sure it didn't fall out of my suit?
Oh, boss, come now!
What?
Before you send a suit to the cleaners, you loosen the lining, finger the cuffs, turn all the pockets inside out, and then run the lint through the sieve 3 times.
Stop making things up. And if you want to hear the program, you better stay at the phone.
Yes, sir. And by the way, the mailman was here and just left a package.
A package?
From Sears and Roebuck. You can be a blonde again.
Good, good. That's the one that makes me look like Nelson Eddy. Now, I've got to get on with the show, so don't hang up. Now, Phil, what were you talking about?
Well, I was just going to say, Jackson, if you want to get some class on the program, how about doing something different, something entertaining like, well, like letting Livy and me sing a song together?
Hey, that sounds like a pretty good idea. You'll sing with Phil, won't you, Mary?
No, thanks. I sang with Phil before.
What about it?
I didn't mind him singing about turnip greens, but he kept time by hitting me on the head with a ham hock.
Oh.
All right, Livy, all right. So if that's the way you want to feel about it, don't sing with me. I just thought it would be nice to have a trio.
Trio? You and Mary would make a nice trio?
Yeah.
Look, Phil, let me explain something to you. One is a solo, two is a duet. Now, if you add a third person, you've got a trio.
Oh.
And if you add a fourth person, you have a quartet.
Uh-huh.
Now, Phil, if you had four people and you found a fifth, what would you have?
Throw me that lead again, will you?
All right. If you had four people and you found a fifth, what would you have?
A quintet. I fooled you that time, didn't I?
Why, Phil, that's right. If you had a fifth, you'd have a quintet.
Yeah, but they'd all be loaded.
I knew it. Mary, I don't blame you for not wanting to sing with them. Phil knows absolutely nothing about music.
I do, too.
Phil, what you know about music, you could write on an ice cube with a branding iron. Believe me. What are you laughing at, Mary?
Did you see the way the arranger has to write the music so Phil can read it?
No, how?
An eighth note is a diamond, a quarter note is a heart, a half note a club, and a whole note a spade.
Phil, you have your music written out in diamonds, hearts, clubs, and spades?
Certainly.
How do you read it?
Well, it's simple. Look, here, I'll show you. Now, look at this sheet of music. See?
Well, that makes no sense at all to me.
Sure it does, Jackson. Take this bar, for instance. Now, you see those notes right here? One right after the other?
Oh, you mean the scale?
Scale? What's that?
What's that? Phil, what do you call this?
That's a flush.
A flush. Well, look, Phil, what about this next bar? It has two notes, then a space, and then two more notes.
That's an inside straight.
An inside straight. You mean you draw to it?
If you play a violin, if you play a trumpet, you blow to it.
Mary, stop helping us. Phil, if you want to play your music by cards, that's all right with me. But what's this king doing here?
That's Petrillo.
I should have known. All right, all right. We've had enough of that. It's time for a song. Dennis. Dennis, what are you yawning about?
I didn't get any sleep last night. My mother and father had a big argument.
An argument?
Yeah, it was all about you. My mother said you were a jerk. Then my father got up and said you were a great guy and a fine example of a man.
Your father said that?
May he rest in peace.
Now stop being silly. Your father's sitting right out here in the audience.
Yeah, doesn't he look awful?
Cut that out.
Dennis, why does your mother dislike Jack so much?
Well, she used to go with Mr. Benny before she met my father.
She did not.
She says she did.
What was your mother's name before she married your father?
I didn't know her then.
Of course you didn't. Now come on, kid, let's have your song.
Okay.
And face the telephone so Rochester can hear it, will you?
Mine does. No heart ever yearned the way that mine does.
like a moose needs a hat rack. I can't understand why that didn't get a laugh. Norman Krasner liked it. And that was Dennis Day singing his latest Victor recording. Man, you can get killed around here. That was Dennis Day singing his latest Victor recording, Mamzelle. And now, ladies and gentlemen... Everything falls down on us, no rehearsals, anything happens. You know? Ladies and gentlemen, for our feature attraction tonight, we're going to present our version of the Universal International Picture based on Betty McDonald's bestseller, The Egg and I. In our interpretation...
Jack, you can't do The Egg and I. Fred Allen did it last week.
I heard it, Don. But this won't conflict with the way Allen did it. You see, we're going to do a comedy version. Anyway, folks, in our play tonight, I will be Fred McMurray, and Mary Livingston will be Claudette Colbert.
What part am I going to play, Jack?
Well, Don, the scene takes place on a farm, so you can play the part of our pig.
Oh, Jack, every time you do a farm sketch, I play the part of a pig. I want to do something else.
Well, what would you like to be, Don?
A canary.
Don, you a canary?
Beep, 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 beep.
Well, that's not so bad. All right, Don, you can be the canary, but in order for people to believe it, do you happen to have a yellow suit?
Yellow suit? No, no, I haven't.
Oh. Well, why don't you step out in the street and put on a taxi cab? And now for... Oh, wait a minute. Before we start, I want to go to the telephone and see if Rochester's enjoying the show. Hello? Hello? How do you like that? Rochester!
Put on the coffee, honey!
Rochester, we're going to do a play, and I want you to hear it.
Okay, you're the boss.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, The Egg and I. As the scene opens, we find the newlyweds, Claudette and Fred, driving out to their new home. Gee, Claudette, I hope you like the new farmhouse I bought.
Oh, I know I will, Mr. McMurray.
Oh, you can call me Fred. We've been married a week now. Remember after the preacher said, I pronounce you man and wife, we turned to each other and shook hands?
Oh, yes. And gee, you were nervous.
I was not nervous.
You were, too. You put the ring on the preacher's finger and gave me
$10. $10. Gee, I was nervous. Anyway, it sure was a wonderful wedding. All our friends were there, the music played softly, and we made a lovely-looking couple as we marched down the aisle.
Yes, but don't you think it would look nicer if I had carried the flowers?
They were bluebells. They went so well with my eyes. But, darling, wasn't it exciting as we drove away from the church with those shoes tied in back of the car?
Yeah.
I wonder what made them bounce like that.
My mother was still in them.
Oh, yes. I cut her loose when we went through Anaheim. They can always use another smudge pot. There. Well, here we are. Look, darling, there's our new home.
Gee, it sure looks run down.
Yeah, but we'll fix it up. There's the man from the real estate office. Oh, mister. Mister.
Yes.
I just bought this house. You're the man from the real estate office, aren't you?
Yes, Nelson's the name. I'm here to show you around.
Gee, what a peculiar style of architecture this house has. It's not French Normandy. Is it early American?
No, crummy colonial.
Well, let's go inside. Come on, honey.
All right.
I'm talking to my wife.
Oh, now follow me. Here's the front door. A few quarts of oil will fix that.
Come on, Fred, let's go in.
Just follow me, folks. I'll show you through the house. This is the living room. This is the dining room. And this is the bedroom.
Gee. Mr. Nelson, does the bathroom have a tile floor?
Shall we go out and see?
Oh.
Mr. Nelson, I'd like to see the kitchen.
Right through this door. There, isn't it a beauty?
Well, I don't know. The stove looks very old and awfully dirty.
Oh, that's just a little dust. I'll blow it off.
Mister, have you tried Sen-Sen?
Gee, this place does look run down.
Yes, but with a little work, you can make it look like $1 million.
Whoops.
Well, it's getting kind of late. I better go.
Goodbye, Mr. Nelson.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Nelson!
Oh, you. Nobody wants me to have any fun. Goodbye.
Well, darling, here we are in our own little home.
Well, we better start getting to sleep.
On a farm, you have to get up at 4 a.m.
You're right, sweetheart. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Get out of here! Darling. Darling. Darling, you're snoring.
No, that's the rooster. It's morning.
Oh. Well, you hurry and get breakfast ready. I'll go out and milk the cows. It's a good thing I slept in my clothes. My, it's pitch dark this early in the morning. Now, where's that milking pail? Ah, here it is. Easy, Bossy, easy. That's a good girl, Bossy. Easy, Bossy, easy. Gee, I can't seem to find... Uh-oh, wrong end. Now. Easy, Bossy, easy. Where's that cow? Ah, there you are, Bossy. Now hold still while I fix the pail and stool. There. That's a good girl. Oh, la, 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 la. Oh, la, 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 la. Better change.
Oh, Fred, are you through milking?
I'm not, but I think the cow is. Hey, what are you holding?
Look, I just found it. It's a black kitten with a white stripe down its back.
Well, shucks. If that isn't the cutest little... Kitty, have you tried Sen-Sen? Now, Claudette, don't stand around. We've got to feed the animals.
Okay.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, look, Fred, isn't it cute the way our canary follows us around?
Yeah. Now, shoo, canary, shoo, shoo. We've got to feed the chickens. Here, chick, 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 chick. Come on, chick, 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 chick. Here's some corn for you.
Oh, Fred, look at that hen sitting on the nest.
Where? Oh, yes. darling, now we've got breakfast. Well, I better get some oats for the horse, hay for the cow, and... What happened?
Our canary stepped on the pig and killed it.
Gee, that's too bad.
Beep, 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 beep.
What a canary. I should have gotten suspicious when he bent the bars in his cage. Claudette, maybe the canary is hungry.
He can't be. A little while ago, I gave him a side of beef.
Well, give him the other side. Now, let's get on with the... Oh, look, here comes someone. Hello.
Howdy, neighbors, howdy. Zeke Harris is my name. Live right over the hill from you.
Well, do you have a farm over there?
Yep, I raise a little of this, a little of that, mostly corn.
For your pigs?
Nope, for my still.
Oh, you have a still?
Yes, sir. She'll make 20 gallon a day.
20 gallons a day? That isn't much.
Ain't bad, my old lady don't drink.
We just moved in here, Zeke. How long have you been living around this section?
Well, now, let me see here. I moved here in 1918. That's 1947. That's 15 years.
Wait a minute, Zeke. From 1918 to now is 29 years you've lived here.
Well, we don't count the 14 years of prohibition as living.
Oh, got any children?
Yep, I got two sons, but we ain't seen them since I run away with the circus. That was 10 years ago. Sure missed the boys.
It's a shame both of them left. Maybe one of them will come back.
Ain't likely. They're Siamese twins.
Oh, Siamese twins, eh?
Yep, they're pretty attached to each other. Oh, Zeke, if you just had a partner, you'd be another one of them Lum and Abners.
By the way, Zeke, is that field over there part of your farm?
Yep, that's the place where I raise the tobacco. That's my hired hands out there picking it.
Where?
Right over there.
Reuben, Reuben, we've been thinking what a sad world this would be if we had no Betty Grable and no LSMFT.
Zeke, your farm hands are pretty good.
Yes, sir, they sing all the time.
Hiya, neighbors. Howdy, Zeke. Good to see you all.
Well, hello.
Ma Kettle is the name. Live right down the road.
Which house?
No house, just down the road.
No house?
Yep, she's married to Paul Kettle, the laziest man in the state.
He's the laziest man in the world. One day, he sat on an acorn. 20 years later, we had to shake him out of the tree.
No kidding.
What do you know? Here comes Paul Kettle, the lazy critter now. Name is Dennis, but folks call him Paul.
Howdy, Paul.
Hi, Zeke. Hi, folks. Ma, put your arms around me and squeeze me. I feel like exhaling. There, that feels better. Any place to lie down around here?
Oh, Paul, stand up for a while.
By the way, what are you folks figuring on raising here?
Chickens.
Oh, wouldn't try it if I were you. Tried to raise some myself a few years ago. Never had any luck.
What happened?
Bought 10 hens and laid a lot of eggs, but none of them never did hatch.
Well, how many roosters did you have?
Oh, roosters. Well, I guess I better be going along now. Gotta go home and help my pig write a letter.
Your pig writes a letter?
Yeah, I just tell him how to spell, and he already has the pen and ink. Oh, Pa Kettle, you may be a hick, but...
Why don't you finish?
Too lazy.
Well, look, my wife and I are just going in to have breakfast. Why don't you folks come in and join us?
That's okay with me.
Me too. Pick me up, Ma.
Well, come on, let's all go in and... Hey, wait a minute. What happened to Zeke? Where's Zeke Harris?
Oh, he had to run along. He's got his own show.
What?
I can stay till Wednesday.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
And you are listening to Radio Vault on WHFR.FM and 89.3. We've been listening to Jack Benny and the Jack Benny Show. That show had an abrupt ending, and we're going to explore as to why that happened. But in the meantime, we're going to find out a little bit about the Hawk's Nest.
25% of community college students report food insecurity and are going to bed hungry. Shocking, right? A friend sitting next to you in class could be going hungry, and you'll never know. The good news? HFC is here to help. The Hawk's Nest has non-perishable food items available for students experiencing hunger. And you can help, too. By donating non-perishable food items or money, you can be sure that 100% of your donation goes directly back into your college community. Donate today and fill a friend's plate. Go to hfcc.edu and search Hawk's Nest.
Join us every Sunday from 4 to 7 p.m. for a special themed 3-hour block of music on WHFR Presents. Each week, one of our WHFR DJs will present a special curated playlist revolving around a particular theme. You never know what you're going to hear, so check it out every Sunday from 4 to 7 p.m. For more information on what's to come this and every Sunday on WHFR Presents, visit our website at www.whfr.fm. That's WHFR Presents, Sundays from 4 to 7 p.m.
Thank you, Rob, with two B's. Catch him on the jump
Johnson
button.
Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Polly. Of Johnson's Wax products for home and industry present Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryan, Dee Benaderet, and me, Harlow Wilcox. The script is by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie. The music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. It's a wise woman who knows how to turn off the heat when her husband comes to a boil. Listen to Mrs. McGee of 79 Wistful Vista lowering the flame under her so-called better half as we join Fibber McGee and Molly.
While I have no idea just what got you into such a temper, dearie, I'm sure you are justified.
Well, by George.
Knowing you as I do, I realize that something must have happened downtown today that annoyed you.
Annoyed me? If them stumblebums, I don't...
So, if you'd care to tell me all about it, and I'm sure you do, I think it might do you good. Let me take your walking stick.
That ain't a walking stick. It's an umbrella.
Where's the rest of it, then?
I don't know. I was slapping trees with it all the way home.
But why?
Well, you've heard of the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America, Incorporated.
Yes, what about it?
Well, they have a convention every year to find the best barbershop quartet. And the Wistful Vista Elks are going to send one.
Isn't that wonderful?
What's wonderful about it? By George, when politics and influence keeps the best possible man from singing top tenor and nominates a guy that sings like the noon whistle on a fertilizer factory. By George, I got a good notion to resign from the Elks. I would, too, if I wasn't 6 months behind in my dues.
Well, who was selected to sing top tenor?
A guy who's got a voice like a worn brake drum, that's who. Doc Gamble, that's who.
Do I understand that you think you should have been picked as first tenor?
Why, of course. Who else? You've heard me sing. Is there any doubt in your mind that I make Gamble sound like a rusty nail being pulled out of a piano crate?
What mental reservations I might have, dearie, are completely submerged by my matrimonial loyalty.
You're darn right. I can sing rings around that bullfrog.
Who are the other members of this shave and a haircut glee club?
Harlow Wilcox, Wallace Wimple, and Latrivia.
Didn't Mr. Wilcox used to sing in Chautauqua, dearie?
He claims he did. Personally, I don't think any of the four of them could sing their way out of an unlocked bathroom. I'm the only trained professional singer in the whole club. Why, I sang...
Come in.
Hello, folks.
Hello there, Mr. Wimple.
Hi, Wimp. I hear you've been selected for the barbershop quartet at the Elks.
Yes. Isn't it wonderful? And to think we might go to the National Convention. Tell me, do men take their wives to conventions?
No, Mr. Wimple. Conventions are places where men go to let their hair down while they still have some. If this quartet goes to the annual convention in Cleveland next June, Mr. Wimple, will your wife let you go, do you think?
Oh, I've got that all fixed, Mrs. McGee. She's going on ahead and meet me in Salt Lake City.
Hey, wait a minute. The convention is in Cleveland.
Yes, I know that, but she doesn't.
Too bad she isn't more reasonable, Mr. Wimple. Doesn't she love you?
Oh, I think she does, Mrs. McGee, in her big old quiet way. Yesterday, when we were walking along the street, she suddenly reached down and chucked me under the chin.
Did she really, Wimp?
Yes. Under the chin of a horse that happened to be passing by.
Heavenly days, Mr. Wimple. Were you trampled underfoot?
No, I was awfully lucky about that, I guess. I recognized the horse immediately as one I used to bet on at the races.
Oh.
So quick as a flash, I reached up and put a $2 bill on his nose, and he stopped dead. I knew what the beast would do if I had any money on him. Well, see you later, folks.
From the orchestra and Souvenir.
Short-sighted wise guys, picking a Johnny One Note like Doc Gamble instead of a natural tenor like me. Of all the stupid, asinine, deliberate...
Oh, now forget it, McGee. Dr. Gamble was selected by the committee fairly and squarely, so be a sport about it.
It ain't a matter of sportsmanship. It's a matter of who's the best top tenor. And Doc Gamble can't sing Don't Fence Me In without Petrillo sending him a dozen pickets. If he ever...
Come in. Oh, hello there, Dr. Gamble. We were just talking about you. That is, McGee was, weren't you, dearie?
Yes.
That's nice.
You think so?
I was just remarking, Doctor, that I don't know how you are going to be able to go to the Barbershop Quartet Convention in Cleveland this June with all your medical work here and all.
Don't worry about me, Bughead. I am combining it with a medical convention in Detroit. I can go from hold that tiger to let go that cirrhosis with no trouble whatsoever.
Himself here has generously suggested to me that if you found you couldn't make it, Doctor, he might fill in for you. He sings tenor, too, you know.
Does he indeed?
You know darn well I do, you big four-flesher. And if it hadn't been for rank favoritism... what am I saying? You sing a lot better than I do, Doc.
That's what everyone says.
Let's hear a little sample of your work, Doctor. I'll be glad to accompany you on the piano.
Yeah, she used to teach piano in Peoria, Doc.
John Charles Thomas studied with me, Doctor.
Did he really?
Not he, they. John Hanson, Charles Mikowski, and Thomas Nagafree. With what I taught them, they've really made good.
Are they singers?
No, they're piano movers. Do these barbershop quartets have names, boys?
Oh, sure. They've had some wonderful names at them conventions. There was the Wait Till You Hear a Spore.
The Cleft Dwellers.
The Shaving Mugs.
The name I always liked was the We Often Wonder What We're Singing For. And incidentally, Molly, the use of a piano is forbidden.
Heavenly days, even for rehearsing?
Yep, so Doc's got to get used to just a pitch pipe. As it happens, Aerosmith, I got my old pitch pipe right here with me.
Is that thing supposed to give a pitch?
Yep.
I can strike a truer note than that by snapping my garters.
Well, I think that's a pretty true note myself, Doctor.
Trouble with you, Lancelot, you're tone deaf. And I can fix it.
How, Chiselwit?
I'm going to train you.
You? Train me? Yep. Isn't that a little like Mickey Rooney training Lionel Barrymore?
Now, don't brush it off, Doctor. McGee was a public entertainer, you know. He really knows quartet singing, he says.
Well, never let it be said that I was allergic to education. What would you suggest, Bucklewart?
Well, first, Doctor, give me a good, sweet, clear tone. Take it from this.
Dear old girl, the robin sings above.
No. Huh? You've got to loosen up, old man.
What?
You ain't getting any emotion into it. Look, maybe we make you nervous.
We make him nervous.
Well, what am I supposed to...
Here, take this pitch pipe.
Uh-huh.
And believe me, you're the only guy in this whole world I'd lend it to. That's what I think of you, Doc.
You know what I think of you?
No, and I don't want to. It might embarrass you.
You said it, dearie.
Now, look, Doc, take this pitch pipe, see, and go into the dining room, shut the door, and practice getting off to a clean start. Like this.
Dear old girl, the robin sings above you.
Get the idea?
Boy, I've done you an injustice. You have a very good voice. Thanks very much. If I begin to disturb you, let me know.
McGee, I'm proud of you.
Huh? What for?
I think it's wonderful how you conquered your resentment and acted like a sportsman.
Oh, shucks. It's nothing that any red-blooded American boy wouldn't do if he had the idea in the back of his mind that I got. I got a notion that...
Hello, folks. Hey, pal, are you going to be at the Elks tonight to hear our quartets?
He wouldn't miss it for all the ham in Hollywood, Mr. Wilcox.
Matter of fact, Junior, I'm training Doc Gamble. For a so-called top tenor, he needs a lot of coaching.
He does? I thought Doc was in pretty good voice.
Well, McGee ought to know Mr. Wilcox. He's a veteran quartet singer. He sung Old MacDonald Had a Farm so often, somebody has to accompany him on a cream separator. Say, didn't you used to sing in Chautauqua, Mr. Wilcox?
Yeah, baritone.
Why'd you give it up, Junior? Tent begin to leak or something?
No, it was the impermanence that got me, I think.
The impermanence?
The impermanence, the temporary feeling of it all. Put up the tent, take it down. Put it up, take it down. Camp chairs, sawdust on the floors. Ooh. Matter of fact, I think it was those sawdust floors that really did it.
What do you mean, Junior? Said he, winking slyly at his wife.
Oh, hello there, Harlow.
Hiya, Doc. I hear Fibber's coaching you.
Getting along all right, Doctor?
Yes, but I better quit now. I've got some office calls.
Oh, no, you don't, Doc. You ain't doing this just for me. You know you're in this for the Elks. and for the old hometown.
Yes.
You get right back in there and stay with it. Now, wait a minute. Let me hear your tone.
Okay. Dear old girl, the robin sings above you.
I think that's splendid, McGee.
Well, it's great, Doc.
Now, it's better, Doc, but it ain't right yet. Oh. Bring them tones up. Clear, pear-shaped tones. Yours are more like a pineapple. And another thing, you don't enunciate distinct. Don't say the robin sing above you. Say the robin sings above you. Now get with it, kid.
Okay.
Dear old girl, a robin.
He's coming along nicely, don't you think, McGee?
Everything will be okay when I get through with him. You got to go, Junior?
Yeah, yes, I do. See you at the Elks tonight, eh?
You betcha. Hey, what's a good hotel in Cleveland?
Oh, there are several good ones. Why? You going there?
Well, I'm not sure yet, Waxy. May have to go there on business this summer. Hey, you got a good name for your quartet?
No, not yet. I suggested the F.C. Johnson & Son Incorporated, makers of wax polishes for home and industry quartet. But nobody seemed to go for it. I don't know why. Well, I'll see you tonight.
He doesn't know why.
Yeah.
Say, has he got a pretty good baritone voice, McGee?
Frankly, it's brutal. In fact, they named a Broadway play after.
What was that?
The Voice of the Turtle.
Mr. Wimple as the lead.
Wimple? He's the worst of the lot. He seems like the dentist was working on his teeth.
You seem to have a rather low opinion of the whole group.
I'd like to have the money that they could sue me for if I published it. There ain't a voice in the lot that I'd hire to blow up balloons with.
Even Mayor Latrivia singing bass?
No, Latrivia ain't so bad. But he's like all bass singers. He gets peeved if every other song ain't Asleep in the Deep. He thinks singing isn't artistic unless it sounds like somebody had fell down a well.
Well, I'm afraid you're a little supercritical, dear. Come in. Oh, hello there, Mrs. Carstairs. Do come in.
Thank you, my dear. Good day, Mr. McGee.
Hi, Carsty. What's the matter? You seem kind of perturbed.
Something wrong, Millicent?
Oh, I've just had the most dreadful experience, my dear. Have you ever been chased by a moose?
My gosh, Carsty, did a moose chase you? Was it anybody we know?
This was a real moose, Mr. McGee.
Oh.
I had always thought that a moose was just a head on a wooden plaque, but this animal had legs. Mm. It might interest you to know that I have spent almost all morning in a pine tree.
Heavenly days, Millicent, where were you? How did it happen?
Well, it disturbed my husband when I practiced my trombone at home, my dear.
Oh, my gosh. You play the trombone, Carsty?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I took up the trombone after I had a rather painful experience being pinched in the stomach by an accordion. See, I usually drive up into the mountains or the woods to practice. I was just warming up on Sugar Blues when crashing through the underbrush came this monster.
Well, what happened, Carsty? Did you leap out of the tree onto his neck and bulldog him?
No, Mr. McGee. I broke off a small forked branch, took some elastic out of my pocketbook, and I made a slingshot and peppered the creature until he went away.
My goodness, Millicent, what'd you use for ammunition?
I broke the string on my pearl necklace, my dear. It gave me 65 shots. 67 counting the diamond clasp. Well, I must get home and replace the elastic in my pocketbook. Good day.
Honeysuckle vine, sleep Kentucky day. Sandman, I'm a coming to this little babe of mine. Sleep Kentucky day. You tell me your dream. Why keep me waiting? Why?
only girl that daddy ever had. A good old-fashioned girl with heart so true, one who loves nobody else but you. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear.
McGee, if the Elks want to send a quartet to the SPB WXYZ JPSDBG convention, why don't they send the King's Man?
It's against the rules. They're professionals. The SPEBSQSA is strictly for amateurs.
Oh?
Hey, I wonder how Doc's coming along, speaking of amateurs.
Frankly, dearie, he's got me a little worried.
About what?
Well, I listened at the dining room door a few minutes ago, and he seems to be having some trouble with his throat.
Oh, my gosh, he's a doctor. Who are we to advise him about his own throat?
Yeah, but the quartet tonight, what if he can't make it?
Oh, he'll make it all right. All he needs to say is to keep on singing. Loosen it up. Look at all the opera singers. They're practicing all the time. My gosh, he can...
Say, McGee.
What's the matter, Doc?
Well, I think I'd better... I think I've had enough practice if I'm going to be any good tonight. Don't you?
Well, McGee, maybe he had better rest a while.
Well, gee whiz, I'm no slave driver. I'm no Simon McGee. If he needs a rest, he can have it. But I gotta be sure it's necessary. Give me a sample, Doc.
Okay. Dear old girl. The Robins! See, McGee, I'm tightening up.
Good, good. That's what I want you to do, Doc. You keep it up for another half an hour and you'll be singing like Crosby.
Yeah, but McGee, he might strain it. He already sounds like Andy Devine with a tight collar.
Look, you kids, what are the vocal cords? They're muscles. What do you do to develop muscles? You exercise them. Stay with it, Doc. Remember, this is for the old hometown boy. We're depending on you, fella. Don't let the old lodge down.
Yes, but what...
Now, you get back in the dining room there and give it another 20 minutes.
Yeah, but...
And don't baby yourself, see? Sing loud, pear-shaped tones, right from the diagram. Now, go on.
Well, okay. Dear old... girl.
Say, McGee, are you sure you're giving him good advice?
My dear girl, I know what I'm doing. With my vocal experience, I gotta... Say, do you know what Lawrence Tippett said to me one day in the old auditorium theater in Chicago?
No, what'd he say?
He said, where's the gentleman's lounge? And I said...
Come in.
No, that isn't what I said, because I didn't...
It's the mayor, McGee. Hello, Your Honor.
Hello, Molly. Good day, McGee.
Hi, Latrib. All set for the quartet sing tonight?
Oh, yes, indeed. Looking forward to it. I'm a member, you know, of the SPEBSQSA.
You done much singing, Latrivia?
Oh, yes, quite a bit, McGee. I belong to the glee club in college.
Oh.
The coach thought so highly of my singing that he got me an engagement to sing at a dude ranch in Arizona.
How interesting, Your Honor. Did you drive out?
No, I took the train to Flagstaff and then the coach.
Then the coach what?
The stage coach.
Oh, you were on the stage, too.
Yes. Yes, it was an old one with six horses.
Oh, an animal act. Did you ever get to the ranch?
Certainly. I took the stage to the ranch.
Well, good for you, Mr. Mayor. Did they enjoy it?
Did who enjoy what?
The folks at the ranch. Did they like the act?
Wait a minute. What are you talking about? What act?
The animal act. The one with six horses you had on the stage.
Carry your own audience to the tribute?
No, I didn't. And I didn't have six stages on a horse, either. I mean six horses on the stage. The coach I was referring to...
We know. Your singing coach at college.
Yes. No! I mean the stagecoach which took me to the ranch.
What kind of a looking fellow was he, Latrivia?
He wasn't a fella. A man. A person. This was a carriage.
Oh, I like to see a man with a good carriage. I often tell himself here to throw back his shoulders and...
I didn't say anything about a man's carriage. This was a coach with wheels on.
Oh, roller skates, you mean. I had a teacher once who wore stilts, but that guy...
He didn't wear roller stilts. A wheel coacher. I merely said I rode to the horses on six ranges. The carriage had six coaches. In the glue club, the glee club, I said, you were the...
McGee? Yes? Remember that traffic ticket you wanted me to fix?
Oh, yes, Your Honor.
Did you fix it?
No, but I will. I think I can fix it so you'll get at least 90 days. Good afternoon.
Heavenly days, you think he really will?
No, he was just kidding. Hey, I wonder what's happened to Doc. I haven't heard a sound out of him for quite a while. Hey, Doc!
Yoo-hoo! Oh, doctor!
You call me?
My gosh, kid, what's the matter? You catching cold?
Oh, I guess I overtrained. Ooh. I can hardly talk, say nothing of singing. I'll never make it tonight, McGee.
Heavenly days, this is terrible.
Imagine a thing like this happening. You better call the Elks right away, Doc.
Oh, you call them. I can only whisper.
Isn't this awful?
Hand me the phone, Molly. Hello, operator. Give me the Elks Club quick. Hi, Elks Club. Is this you, Steve Cady? This is Fibber McGee. I got bad news for you, Steve. Doc Gamble overtrained and lost his voice. He can't sing tonight. Huh? Who? Me? Oh, why, yes, I am. But not half as good as Doc, huh? Oh, I couldn't do that, Steve. I'd feel terrible taking Doc's place like that.
Yeah, just like you would if you were made president of Standard Oil.
Go on, McGee, do it.
What say, Steve? Oh, well, if you put it like that, I don't know how I can refuse. It means dropping all my business affairs, but I'll make the sacrifice. Okay, Steve, I'll be right down. Goodbye. Hey, Molly, give me my hat. Hey, Doc, give me my pitch pipe. They want me to sing top tenor. I'll see you later, folks.
Well, it takes so little to make some people happy, doesn't it?
Yeah. Why, Doctor, your voice, it's cleared up. Were you faking all this trouble?
Well, sure, I can't go to Cleveland. There's a woman there who wants to marry me. Well, thanks for the use of the dining room.
This is ridiculous.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America, Incorporated, is a very real and wonderful national organization. It has given pleasure and entertainment to millions, rich and poor and young and old. Our best wishes to
you. And we hope they have a very successful convention in Cleveland next June.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Doc, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Products for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
And sometimes things can get rather silly, but one thing's for sure, Phil Mack will guide you through and try to leave you feeling giddy. And try to leave you feeling happy.
Thematic. Thematic.
Heard on Wednesdays from 12 to 4.
Thematic.
Thematic.
Interview some classics and
so much more.
Thematic.
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 Woo-hoo! Catch Thematic every Wednesday from 12 to 4 p.m.
Nerd. All right. Thank you, Phil Mack, for Thematic here on WHFR, another one of our very interesting shows you don't want to miss ever, ever, ever. We just heard Fibber McGee and Molly, originally broadcast back way back on April 30th of 1946. Fibber McGee and Molly, they actually started selling for Johnson Wax in the Chicago area, or based in the Chicago area, and they eventually were given a show to host called Smack Out, and that eventually led to their network program, Fibber McGee and Molly. And of course, that was Jim and Marion Jordan of that show. And we enjoyed that show. It had some spinoffs. And as a matter of fact, we're going to hear a show that was a spinoff from Fibber McGee and Molly. The person who did the Faygo commercials, Hal Perry, was the Great Gildersleeve originally, and they had another actor who came in a little bit later on in the show by the name of Willard Waterman. Now, some of us have actually met Willard Waterman before he passed away at our various old-time radio conventions. Good guy. I believe Willard Waterman is heard on the shows that we're about to hear for our final hour of Radio Vault for today. We have from 1953, The Trouble with Miss Tuttle, Mrs. Tuttle, from Great Gildersleeve. And we also have one of my favorite episodes from 1953, Leroy the Electrical Wizard. That'll be the second half of this hour, this coming hour, here on WHFR. Let's get started right now. From October 14, 1953, The Great Gildersleeve.
Sometimes you can get rather silly.
Willard Waterman as The Great Gildersleeve. Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, transcribed by the Kraft Foods Company. Sometimes, in the middle of a busy afternoon at the water department, the Great Gildersleeve starts thinking about his girlfriend, Miss Tuttle, who teaches school. And suddenly, it seems like a good idea to drive by just about the time school is out and take Leroy home.
Chunk, I'm not ready to go home. I want to stay and watch football practice.
Yeah, it's up to you, Leroy. I just thought I'd drop by.
But you didn't tell me you were coming.
Well, say, there's Miss Tuttle. I see her through the window. I wonder if she sees me waving.
Well, if she can't see you waving your hat, why don't you throw a rock at the window?
Well, I wouldn't do that.
Want me to?
No.
I'm on to you, Unc.
What?
You didn't come to take me home. You came to take Miss Tuttle.
Well, it's Grace. Miss Tuttle wants a ride. Of course, I'll be happy to take her.
Okay, see you at dinner, Happy.
All right, my boy. Leroy knows how interested I am in Grace Tuttle. He can read me like a book. Yeah, well, I'll just wait. She'll be out in a minute, I guess. We might plan something for Friday night. Teachers like to get away from it all then.
Is that you, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Hello, Miss Henshaw. Yes, indeed, it's me. Hi. How's our new principal?
Fine, thank you. I want to ask something of you before you get away.
Well, if it's about Leroy's grades, he's a slow starter, but I'm sure by Christmas...
Oh, no. It's not about Leroy. I wanted to ask if you'd be kind enough to be one of our chaperones at the school dance on Friday night.
Friday night? Well...
It's our first dance, and we want some of our school's most distinguished friends.
Thank you. Of course, you usually have couples chaperoning, and I'm not coupled. Uh-huh. Would it be all right if I asked to escort a member of the faculty?
Mr. Gildersleeve, I'd prefer that our chaperones didn't escort faculty members to the school dances.
Oh.
However, it's very nice of you to ask me.
Well, I...
I hope you understand.
You know, yes, indeed.
Of course, if you really want to do something nice for me, you may drive me home this afternoon.
Home? Why, certainly. Yes, indeed.
I have such a tremendous load of papers to carry. It'll be a big help. I'll run and get them.
Yeah, all righty. I didn't mean to ask her to the dance. Well, I hope she hurries. If Grace sees me drive off with her, she might misunderstand.
Hello, Throckmorton.
Oop, Grace.
May I get in?
Well,
I saw you waving to me through the window, but I couldn't wave back at the moment. Nice of you to wait for me.
Well, as a matter of fact, I started out...
WHFR, Dearborn.
Somebody else.
Oh, yes. What happened to Leroy? I saw him here at the car.
He ran off to watch football practice.
Well, are we just going to sit here until that's over?
Grace?
What's the matter? Are you out of gas?
Just about. You see, I'm waiting for Miss Henshaw.
The principal?
I'm supposed to take her home.
Oh.
It's a funny thing, the way it came about. I was sitting here in the car, and I just waved to you through the window when Miss Henshaw came along.
Excuse me, Throckmorton. If you don't mind, I'll hear about it another time.
What?
There's Miss Gregg. I'll ride home with her.
I can take you both. I've got plenty of room.
It's a little crowded to me. Goodbye.
Yes, but Grace, goodbye. I'm still trying to call Miss Tuttle. I've got to explain about this afternoon.
Excuse me, you want me whole dinner?
You know, we'll eat, Bertie. I'll try later.
We don't have to eat now. We can have it or hold it.
Well, let's have it.
We don't have to. We can hold it.
Never mind, Bertie.
If you want to get your call through, I can bring a tray to the phone.
No, thanks.
You eat off a tray looking at television. No reason why you can't eat off a tray talking on the phone.
Bertie, just put the dinner on the table.
Yes, sir. We can have it or hold it.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I can put down the tray.
The table, Bertie, the table.
Yes.
Miss Tuttle still won't answer the phone, huh, Unc?
No. I'm sure she isn't avoiding me. She undoubtedly stepped out.
Yeah, after you threw her over for the principal, she probably threw herself in the river.
No, Leroy.
She probably walked dejectedly to the riverbank. Looked into the dark, swirling water and said, "Farewell, cruel world."
Confound it, Leroy. This is a serious matter.
You're fighting it, Unc. Maybe this is fate.
Fate?
Why date the seventh grade teacher when you could be going out with the principal? Where's your ambition?
Watch it, young man.
You could go right to the top.
Leroy, I'm not interested.
I am. Then if Miss Tuttle gave me a bad grade, the principal could change it.
Leroy.
Well, a kid's got to think of all the angles.
Miss Tuttle is an old and dear friend of mine. Well, Miss Henshaw is a stranger in town.
Yeah, but what a keen-looking stranger.
Yeah, I think I'll try Grace once more before dinner.
Dinner time! I'm on the phone again.
Oh, why doesn't she answer?
Excuse me, I thought you said Guido.
Well, that's right, Bertie.
I could have held it, but you said put it on.
Yeah, I know, Bertie.
So I put it on. You want me to take it off?
Yeah, I'll be right there.
If you're in a stew with your girlfriend, it won't hurt my stew.
All right, Bertie.
You know why it won't hurt my stew? Because stew ain't what we're having for dinner.
Hello,
Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this evening?
Nothing, Peavy. Just killing a little time. I'm due at a big function this evening.
I notice you're in your blue serge. Dedicating a new water main, are you?
No. Miss Henshaw, the principal, asked me to chaperone a school dance.
You don't say.
Yeah, I wanted to have a date with Miss Tuttle, but Miss Henshaw said no taking faculty members to the dance.
Miss Tuttle was in the pharmacy this afternoon. She said she was going to the dance.
She is?
So you'll see her after all. Your problems are over.
Over. If Grace couldn't understand why I drove the principal home, what'll she say when she sees Miss Henshaw has invited me to chaperone?
She'd say that two-time and water peddler and hit you over the head with your own bucket.
Peavy, let's face it. I'm in a jam.
Well, if you use your head, you can get out of this. Even if you don't take Miss Duddle to the dance, you can take her home.
Say, that's an idea.
I remember back in my karting days, I took a horse to a dance and brought Mrs. Peavy home.
You what?
Of course, I brought the horse home, too. We were in the buggy.
Well, I didn't think you drove Mrs. Peavy home.
Oh, man, no. there's any driving to be done, you know who'd be in the harness. I'll never forget that night. It was cold and wintry, and we had to snuggle up a little bit to keep warm.
Yeah, I'll bet.
That was the night Mrs. Peavy said yes.
Was that the night you proposed?
I didn't say anything. My teeth were chattering, and when I got down on my knees to buckle my galoshes, she said yes.
Peavy, you're kidding. But when I go to the dance, I'm going to take your advice.
You going to propose?
No. Now, when I get a chance to speak to Grace, I'll just ask if I can take her home.
That's what I say.
Well, I'll be on my way, Peavy.
Very well, but that'll be 25 cents.
25 cents?
Well, you didn't buy anything. I should get something for the advice.
Good night, Peavy. Oh, my goodness, what a dance. Boys on one side and the girls on the other. You wonder if Grace is here yet.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Good evening, Miss Henshaw.
I'm so glad you arrived a little early.
Yes, indeed. You know the water commissioner. Always on tap.
Fine. Since you're alone, I wonder if you'll be kind enough to take charge of the record player.
You mean spin the platters? Well, delighted.
Good. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll go greet the other chaperone.
Yeah, just leave it to me, Miss Henshaw. Let's see. What have we here?
Hi,
Uncle. Hello, Leroy.
You in charge of records?
Yeah.
Put on Dragnet.
Leroy, how can you dance to Dragnet?
Who wants to dance? Play it and we'll clear out the joint. They'll think it's a raid. Dum-da-da-da.
Young man, go line up your first dance.
I got it already. I'm dancing with Piggy.
Piggy? You're supposed to dance with girls.
Well, they're on to me. I got two left feet.
Well, go dance with Ethel Hammerschlag. She'll dance with anybody.
Oh, no.
Say, there's Grace. Why, George, she's pretty. Yeah, there's something about her redhead in a green dress. Yo, Grace! You! Surprise!
Why, Throckmorton, what are you doing here?
Miss Henshaw invited me to chaperone.
Oh, so that's your principal reason.
Now, Grace.
Hey!
Just a minute, Leroy. Grace, you've got the wrong idea. There's nothing between Miss Henshaw and me.
Well, I assure you I won't stand between you.
Grace, I'll explain everything.
I'm not interested in an explanation, particularly.
My first thought was to invite you to the dance. But Miss Henshaw said I shouldn't bring a faculty member.
Oh, she did.
No, Grace, don't take it personally. She doesn't even know we've been going together.
Does it have to be a secret?
Oh, no. No, as a matter of fact, after the dance is over, I'd like to take you home. How about it?
Well, I don't know. It was very embarrassing the other day when I had to get out of your car because you were waiting for her.
It wasn't my idea, and it won't happen again, believe me. Yeah, I'll meet you at the door right after the dance is over.
Well,
Grace, you know there's nobody but you.
You do sound convincing.
That's because it comes from the heart.
All right, Throckmorton, I'll meet you at the door.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Hey, Unc. Hey,
what is it, Leroy?
Are you going to flip records or just flip your lid over Miss Tuttle?
Young man.
Good night,
Unc. Good night, my boy.
You leaving now? You going home?
Well, I'm leaving, but I'm not going home.
I get it. You're taking Miss Tuttle.
Smart boy. Yeah, she's waiting at the door. I'd better hurry.
Just a moment, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, hello, Miss Henshaw. Nice party.
Wasn't it? I want to thank you for being such a splendid chaperone.
You're glad to do it. Well, good night.
Before you go...
Yes?
Would you help me close the windows and lock the auditorium?
Me? Why...
Unless you're in a hurry to get home.
No, no, I'm in no hurry to get home. Yeah, I mean...
Wonderful. I hate to be in a big, empty school building all alone.
Well, I guess it won't take long. I hope Grace doesn't think I'm standing her up.
Now, this window always sticks. Will you help me pull it down?
You know, I think I can manage, Miss Henshaw. He'll finish his job in a jiffy. It's coming. Oh! Right on my finger.
Oh, did you hurt your finger? I'm terribly sorry. Let me see.
Oh, practically nothing.
Oh.
I wish you wouldn't hold my hand.
Oh, dear, I'm afraid you're going to lose this nail.
Oh, well, I've got nine more. Let's close the window and get out of here.
Oh, excuse me.
Why, Miss Tuttle, are you still here?
Yes, I'm still here.
You didn't have to come back to help.
I didn't. I'm just passing through.
Oh. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, let's close the rest of the windows and be careful of your finger.
Yeah, I think I'll close this one on my neck.
The Great Gildersleeve will be back in just a minute. Gildersleeve has been caught in the web of circumstances. Twice now, Miss Tuttle, the pretty teacher, thought she had a date with our water commissioner, only to find him in the company of the school principal, Miss Henshaw.
The least Grace Tuttle can do is give me a chance to explain.
Well, she isn't usually like that.
What?
She gives me plenty of chances in class. I can never explain anything.
Yeah. Well, there's one sure thing, Leroy. You ain't learning as much from them teachers as your uncle is.
Yeah, I'm getting a Ph.D. in the School of Hard Knocks, Bertie.
Yes, sir. And you're getting an L.L.A. to boot.
What's an L.L.A.?
Let love alone.
Yes, yes. Well, I've done all I can. I've tried to phone her, gone by her apartment. I've even sent her a note by you, Leroy.
Yeah.
What did she say?
Nothing. She just corrected the spelling.
There was nothing wrong with the spelling.
Yes, there was. You spelled explain, E-X-P-L-E-A-N.
That was not an E. I just forgot to dot the I.
Anyway, you flunked. Don't worry, Unc. You just mope around the house over the weekend, and when I go to school next Monday, I'll tell Miss Tuttle how miserable you've been.
Who's miserable? If Miss Tuttle chooses to believe I'm becoming interested in the school principal, by George, I'll accommodate her.
You mean you'll admit it?
Well, I'm not interested in her, Leroy, but I will say she's attractive enough.
Mr. Gildersleeve ain't gonna be caught without a good-looking girl.
No, Bertie. If I make a date with the principal, it'll only be to teach Miss Tuttle a lesson. Leroy. Show Grace Tuttle she isn't the only pebble on the beach. You have a notion to phone the principal and ask her for a date right now. Hello, Petey.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you?
Well, I want to use your phone. Where's the directory?
Right here.
Yeah, thanks.
How was your dance the other evening?
Petey, that's a sore subject.
Miss Tuttle step on your toes?
No, she won't even talk to me because she's jealous of Miss Henshaw. Now I'm going to give her something to be jealous about.
My, my.
Yeah, here we are. Right here. Irene Henshaw.
Mr. Gildersleeve, are you sure you're doing the right thing? You know what they say about rebound romance.
Well, I'm not rebounding. I'm snapping back.
You seem pretty confident Miss Henshaw will give you the date.
Well, why shouldn't she? She hasn't been here long enough to know anybody else. And she doesn't know I go with anybody.
Hello?
Hello. Is this Miss Henshaw?
Yes.
This is Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, your chaperone par excellence. Remember?
Oh, of course, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, I thought you'd like to know what a good friend of the school thinks of you.
I certainly would. I hope I'm doing a good job.
Oh, yes, indeed. In fact, this friend thinks you deserve an evening out, away from children.
Really? Who is this friend?
Me.
My, my.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you're a very persistent fellow.
What?
First you wanted to take me to the school dance.
Yeah, I did? Yeah, I mean, yes. Yes, I did.
And I suppose such perseverance should be rewarded.
Yes, indeed. Would you like to pin the medal on me tonight?
Well...
He doesn't need a medal with all that brass.
You need the recreation. All work and no play, you know.
Perhaps I do. Would you like to come over about 8?
Yeah, I'll be there at 7:45.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Hot dog. Peavy, wrap up your best box of candy.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy you got the date.
Yeah, good old Peavy.
You like to see me win out, don't you?
To tell you the truth, Mr. Gildersleeve, I like to sell candy.
Wonderful evening, Throckmorton.
I've enjoyed it, too, Irene. You just think. A little while ago, it was Miss Henshaw and Mr. Gildersleeve. Now it's Irene and Throckmorton.
Well, I'd better go in now.
Well, so soon? Why can't we sit here in the port swing a few minutes? It's a mild evening.
Well, all right, for a minute.
Oop. Someday I'll come by and bring my oil can and take the squeak out of those chains. It'll be another excuse to see you.
A big boy like you doesn't have to bring an excuse to the teacher.
Fine. Right, George, I'm glad I got the idea to call you tonight.
So am I. The movie was fun. Most men seem to think they have to take the school principal to the museum or some such place.
Well, you aren't going to get me into any museums until I'm prehistoric.
You know, Throckmorton, I didn't realize there was a moon tonight.
Well, he probably didn't know we were going to be together. Yeah, I don't see it. Where is he?
Just coming up through the trees, right there.
And I can't quite see it from here. Huh? Mind if I move over closer to you? Yeah. Yeah.
You must be able to see it very well now.
If Grace could see me now. Grace?
Yeah, I mean Irene.
Yes?
If may I take you to the junior high football game this week?
I think that would be very nice, but are you sure you want to ask me?
What do you mean?
You just called me Grace.
Yeah, I did? No, I didn't mean her.
Could Grace by any chance be Miss Tuttle?
No, Irene, she doesn't mean anything to me. As a matter of fact, I'd like to take you to the game and sit right where she can see us.
Oh?
Yeah, I don't know what you heard, but...
I'm just beginning to hear quite a lot. I had no idea you were going with Miss Tuttle.
No, I'm not.
Since when?
You know, since the night you had me closing the windows.
All of 2 nights ago. So that's why she acted so strangely when she walked through the room.
Well...
How could I have been so taken in?
Now, Irene, Miss Henshaw.
The children at school try to work angles all day. I thought I could drop my guard at night.
But...
I must go in, Throckmorton.
Wait a minute, Irene. Don't go in. We scarcely know each other.
I think we know each other. Good night.
Miss Henshaw, no game?
The game is over.
Hello, Peavy.
Yeah, I don't know, Mr. Gildersleeve. How was your date last night?
Don't mention it.
Very well. Is it all right to bring up the moon? It looked very romantic last night.
I felt like throwing rocks at it.
You don't care.
Peavy, I'm off women. And why I ever got mixed up with two school teachers, I'll never know.
Well, if a man isn't too smart, he shouldn't get mixed up with teachers.
Well, I've gotten smart. I'm through with teachers.
I take it Miss Henshaw didn't want to compete with Miss Tuttle.
It was the worst mistake I ever made. Trying to go with two teachers is like trying to go with two sisters.
Yes, your right hand is pretty sure to know what your left hand is doing.
That's an astute observation. Women.
Good evening, Mr. Peavy.
Well, hello, Miss Parrish.
No.
What can I do for you this afternoon?
I need a new lipstick.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, I'd say the one she has is perfect.
We have quite a selection here, if Mr. Gildersleeve will excuse us.
You know, I'm in no hurry. No hurry at all. Go right ahead, Peavy, and wait on Miss,
Miss Parrish, you're new in town. I wonder if you've met our distinguished water commissioner, Mr. Gildersleeve.
How do you do, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Delighted to know you, Miss Parrish.
Mr. Gildersleeve is not only the water commissioner, he's one of our most eligible bachelors.
Really?
Oh, Peavy...
Well, I'd better select my lipstick.
Oh, and I see you have sunglasses. I'll need some if I'm going to the football game tomorrow.
Very well.
You like football, Miss Parrish?
Oh, I never miss a game if I can help it.
Well, I'd plan to go tomorrow.
Oh?
Since we'll both be going, perhaps you'd go with me, if you're not busy.
He says he hates women.
Well, I hardly know what to say, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, you might say yes. Mr. Peavy here will vouch for me. In fact, he already has.
Oh, yes. You'll be safe with Mr. Gildersleeve.
I'll go. It sounds like fun.
Great. It's a date.
It's a date. After all, when a girl comes to a new town, she has to make new friends.
Yeah, you're right as rain, Miss Parrish. By the way, what brought you to Summerfield?
I'm the new first grade teacher.
The great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just 30 seconds.
Nothing like a good fire on a dreary afternoon, Leroy.
Don't you wish you'd taken Miss Parrish to the game instead of sitting here with me?
No, my boy, I'm fed up. I'm in trouble with every woman I know. They've got me in a corner. And I'm trapped.
Yeah?
Nobody can set a trap like a woman. When Miss Tuttle came out to the car while I was waiting for Miss Henshaw, I was trapped.
I'll say.
Miss Henshaw trapped me when she asked me to help lock up the school. If I'd taken that first grade teacher, Miss Parrish, to the game, I'd have been trapped again.
I'm going to steer clear of women.
What's this?
When I grow up, I'm going to be just like you. I'm not going to get married.
Yeah, no, wait a minute, my boy. You shouldn't say that. One of these days, some pretty little girl will come along and you'll see things differently.
Yeah?
After all, man can't get along without woman. They're indispensable. Woman is the cornerstone of the family. They make the home. They comfort and inspire man to greater things. Now, do you understand why you have to get married?
Yeah, I'll be trapped.
Good night, folks.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman and is an NBC Radio Network production. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White and is transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Schiff, Lillian Randolph, Joanne Jordan, Kathy Lewis, and Dick LeGrand. Musical compositions by Jack Meekin. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next week and every week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Are you a Dearborn resident 60 years or older? Did you know that you can take classes at Henry Ford College tuition free? Would you like to improve your computer skills, become an actor, an artist, or an auto mechanic, or enjoy one of 100 other classes? You could even find yourself on the radio like I did, and I did it tuition free at Henry Ford College. For a complete information and a list of classes, please visit our website at hfcc.edu.
Many sounds, the many faces of jazz and improvised music can be heard on the Spirits Rejoice radio program every Tuesday from 6 to 10 p.m. right here, WHFR.FM, WHFR Dearborn.
And it is my turn to say a few words. You're listening to Radio Vault as we wrap up our final half hour. We just heard, let's see, from October 14, 1953, The Trouble with Miss Tuttle from Great Gildersleeve, Willard Waterman in the title role, whose voice was so similar to Harold Perry's voice, who was the Faygo guy, that the audience really didn't notice when they changed actors on that show, which was a spinoff from Fibber McGee and Molly, which we heard earlier. The Great Gildersleeve was one of the characters on Fibber McGee and Molly. It's hard to say, you know. So we have one more Great Gildersleeve show we're going to bring you. This is one of my favorite episodes, called Leroy the Electrical Wizard, from October 21st, 1953. This, boys and girls, moms and dads, dogs and cats, friends and neighbors, this is Radio Vault, heard every Tuesday between 10 in the morning and 1 o'clock here on WHFR 89.3 and WHFR.FM on your streaming device.
Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, transcribed, by the Kraft Foods Company. Well, you never know what to expect when a boy empties his pockets. Sometimes it's pieces of string, marbles, tin foil, keys that won't fit anything, and some things you can't even identify. But this afternoon, when the Great Gildersleeve's nephew Leroy emptied his, there was a roll of electric wire, a dry cell battery, and a cast-off light switch. And for the last couple of hours, he's been pretty busy.
Now I'll attach this other wire to the switch and snip it off. That should do it.
Leroy!
Yeah, Bertie?
What are you up to in your Uncle Ben's?
What makes you think I'm up to something?
Because it's so quiet in here. And I know you ain't doing your homework, because you usually have the radio going full blast. You're up to something.
Bertie, I got the whole house wired. All I have to do is flip this switch.
You going to blow it up?
Nah. I'm going to have some fun with Unc when he comes home.
Come again?
Why don't you answer the door, Bertie?
The doorbell ain't ringing.
Oh, yeah?
My land.
Wait a minute. I rang the doorbell sitting right here.
Boy, if you rang that doorbell sitting here down on the den floor, you got the longest arms I ever saw.
Well, heck, I can even make the telephone ring.
No fooling.
Just by flipping the switch.
Leroy, where'd you learn all that hocus pocus?
I picked it up at school.
Hello, everybody. I'm home.
Uh-oh, here's Unc. Make him answer the phone and doorbell when they ring.
Okay, I can always get another job.
Where is everybody?
Come in, Miss Gildersleeve.
Don't let him come in here.
Are you home, ain't you?
That's an astute observation, Bertie.
Thank you, sir.
Where's Leroy?
Oh, he's around and about, up and down, here and there, somewhere around.
Well, I'll catch him the next time around.
Yes, sir.
Can we have dinner a little early? I have a date with Miss Henshaw tonight.
The new school principal?
Yeah, little night school.
Yes, sir. Uh-oh, I gotta go check the road.
All right, I'll get the door. It's funny. Nobody out here. I know the doorbell rang. Bertie, you heard the doorbell, didn't you?
Yes.
That's strange. Oh, well. I wonder what's in the evening paper.
You want to answer the telephone, Miss Gildersleeve?
Yeah, all right, Bertie. Hello? Hello? Confounded hello. Nobody there. Guess they hung up. Oh, my goodness.
Can you get it?
Yes, Bertie. Huh.
wonder if some kid rang the bell and ran. Yeah, I'll bet that was Leroy. Oop, I've got the door open and it still rings. What's wrong with these chimes? Must be a short in the wiring. Yeah, you better take a look. What's this wire? Congratulate myself when I think of how well I'm doing with Irene Henshaw. Yeah, glad the school needed a new principal. And she grades me pretty high. If I try to hold her hand tonight, I wonder if she'll give me an F in deportment. Well, at least I'm going to get an A for effort.
Hello, Throckmorton.
Hello, Irene.
Come in.
Thank you.
Well, you're right on time.
Yep, always make it a point never to be late for school. Couldn't wait to get here. Look, I have a couple of apples for the teacher.
You brought apples?
They're in my cheeks.
Oh, it must be nippy out.
Yeah. What should we do tonight, Irene?
Do you mind if we just stay here by the fire?
Do I mind?
I had a dreadful day at school. Everything seemed to go wrong.
Yeah, I'll do my best to make you forget. Let's sit here on the couch. Yeah.
This is much nicer than going out.
You bet. Say, you're a vision of loveliness tonight.
Thank you.
That's quite a get-up you're wearing. Low in the back and buttoned high up the front. Cute dress.
Oh, it's just a little print.
Well, I must say you publish it well.
Morton, you're such fun to be with. You bolster my ego.
Well, we do get along great together.
You're such a comfortable man to be around.
Yeah, I'm as comfortable as an old shoe. I wonder if I should throw another log in the fire.
No, let it flicker. I love the interesting shadows it throws on the wall.
Yeah, I can see our shadows over there. Let's see if I can make a rabbit with my hands. He used to do this when I was a kid.
Well, that's very good. I'll make a companion for him.
Good.
How's that?
You're quite a bunny. Let's have our rabbits touch noses.
All right.
Look, they like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Irene.
Yes?
They say the Eskimos rub noses when they kiss.
So I've heard.
I wonder if we should forget the rabbits and play Eskimo.
Do you think it's that cold in here?
No, indeed. Irene. Oop.
Gracious, who could be at the door at this hour?
Probably a Northwest Mountie.
Excuse me, Throckmorton.
What a time for the doorbell to ring.
Evening, Miss Henshaw.
Why, Mr. Jensen.
You told me to report what I found out about them dad-busted bells at school.
Yes.
Well, we can't find out a thing.
Oh?
Well, why did he come by?
Step inside. We'll have to decide what to do.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Gildersleeve, this is our school custodian, Mr. Jensen.
Hello, Mr. Jensen.
Well, how are you, Mr. Gildersleeve? I didn't know our war commissioner was keeping company with our school principal.
Well,
pretty hard man to keep up with, where the women are concerned.
Jensen.
Why can't you fix the bells at school, Mr. Jensen?
Well, I can't seem to find out where them boys crossed the wires.
You say some boys have been monkeying with the bell system at school? Yeah.
That's why it was such a difficult day. We had bells ringing at all hours.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's Leroy.
A class would just get settled, the bells would ring, and they'd get up and leave.
Yes, sirree, we had a regular traffic jam this afternoon with all them bells ringing at once. Sounded like a fire drill.
You haven't any idea what boy did it?
No, but I'd be tempted to expel the one who did.
Well, I'd warm his britches, that's what.
Maybe he didn't realize what he was doing.
Who?
Well, whoever did it.
I know this. I can't go through another day like today.
No, Irene.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this first thing in the morning. I'm going to call a special assembly, and somebody is going to account to me.
Yeah, she means it.
I'll point out how everybody in school is being inconvenienced, and if the boy has any honor at all, he'll step forward and take his medicine.
Well, I'm sure Leroy... Oh.
Leroy?
Leroy, you're any boy, whoever did it. We'll realize his mistake by tomorrow morning.
Any boy who would do a thing like this must be a headache to his parents.
Well, I'd better say goodnight.
Yeah, I better go home, too. I think I have a headache. Yeah, there's still a light in Leroy's room. Yeah, I'll go up and read the riot act to that boy. Oop. Growls again. He's got everything wired. That young man's going to be in for a shock himself. I never saw Irene so upset. That's another thing. He broke up my date. Leroy?
Yeah?
Front and center.
What?
Out of bed, young man. On your feet and give me an accounting.
Oh, you mean our doorbell. I forgot to disconnect my wires.
Leroy, they're not the only wires you've been tampering with.
What are you talking about, Unc?
Yeah, I know all about what you did to the school bells.
Oh, that? Well, I had nothing to do with it. But boy, you should have seen Miss Henshaw. Was she in a tizzy? And you should have seen Mr. Jensen.
I've seen Mr. Jensen.
Yeah? Did he get the bells fixed?
They're waiting for you to tell them where you crossed the wires. Now come clean.
I am clean. I don't have anything to tell them.
Oh, Leroy, the finger's pointing at you.
Uncle, I didn't do it, honest.
Well, then how do you happen to know so much about rigging bells?
Oh, heck, I just picked it up.
Well, you picked up a hot potato. Tomorrow morning, you're going to march up to Miss Henshaw and confess.
I am not.
Leroy, careful.
Why should I confess?
Because it builds character. Now go to bed and think it over.
But I'm innocent.
And stop insisting you're innocent when I keep telling you you're guilty.
What a character.
Quiet around the school today. Irene must have laid down the law. That Leroy couldn't get a thing out of him. The only honest thing for me to do is go to Irene myself and tell her I know he's implicated. Maybe she'll go a little easy on the boy. He isn't malicious.
Come in.
Hello, Irene.
Hello, Throckmorton. Mr. Gildersleeve.
Irene, oh, yes, we are in school, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
The reason I came, Miss Henshaw, is to talk about the bells.
Oh, they became such a problem, we disconnected them all. We're going by watches until we find the source of the trouble.
Well, I know the source of the trouble.
You do?
This is very embarrassing and painful to me. But the boy who did it is afraid to confess himself, so I'm doing it for him.
Who are you talking about, Throckmorton?
Well, my nephew, Leroy.
Leroy? Is he smart enough to rig the wires? I didn't know he was scientifically inclined.
Yeah, now don't be too hard on him. It may be that he's just gotten in with the wrong crowd here in the school.
I didn't know we had a wrong crowd in our school.
Well, the principal doesn't always know what's going on.
Oh?
Boy can pick up plenty of mischief in a school like this and bring the ideas right home.
Uh-huh. Mr. Gildersleeve, it has been my experience that if a boy has received the proper training at home, he isn't likely to get into much mischief at school.
No, Irene, let's not criticize the way I bring up Leroy.
Well, let's not criticize the way I run this school.
But I feel I know you well enough to tell you the boy got his wires crossed here in your school.
Well, I think I know you well enough to tell you the boy's uncle is a little haywire.
No, Irene.
I'm very busy. Good day.
Well, if that's the way you want it, good day. Confound it. Only trying to get Leroy straightened out. Lend a helping hand and she steps on it. Say, there's Jensen still working on the wires. You found out where the trouble is, Jensen?
Not yet, Commissioner.
Well, perhaps I should help. I feel a little responsible for this.
Did you do the tinkering?
No, Jensen. Here, let me have your pliers. I see a wire way back there that looks like it's dangling.
Oh, must have missed that one. Here.
Yeah, it goes right here, I guess.
Oh, Dad, bust it now. The kids will change classes again. Yeah, and here comes Miss Henshaw breathing fire.
Yeah, I'm getting out of here. She's already scorched me.
Oh.
Great Gildersleeve will be back in just a minute. Well, the great Gildersleeve has plenty of circumstantial evidence, but he hasn't been able to get a confession that his nephew Leroy rigged the school bells. Now the water commissioner feels that the boy's character development is at the crossroads.
Bertie, you know I never get tough with Leroy because of a little prank. But when he won't make a clean breast of it, that's another matter.
Yes, sir, but did anybody see him do it?
Well,
teacher didn't see him do it.
No, but
principal didn't see him do it.
True, but
did you see him do it?
Of course not. But we know he rigged the bells here at home.
That I saw him do.
Yeah, you see? And it happened the same day. What do you say to that?
I'd say he's just like his uncle.
What?
Mr. Gildersleeve, when you was in college, who put the cow in the dean's office?
Well, that was an amusing prank.
Yes, sir. But did the dean think so?
Yeah. I don't want Leroy doing everything I did. But when he does get out of line, by George, I want him to admit it. Yeah, here he comes. Maybe he'll take this more seriously if I give him the cold shoulder. Yeah, I'll let him know I'm so shocked I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Hi, Unc.
Hello?
They got the bells fixed at school.
Well, I hope you enjoyed your fun.
All the kids did.
And I suppose the culprit never admitted
it. Nuh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder who did it.
Ha!
I did not. Heck, let's forget it. I can go to a movie tonight. That'd be a swell way to forget it.
I don't think I care to attend a movie with you, Leroy.
Even if I pay my own way?
Sorry?
What's the matter with you, Unc?
Something's happened between us, my boy. The old spark is gone. I like young men of character.
I'm loaded with it. I just don't flaunt it.
Yes.
Well, if you don't want to go to a movie with me, let's eat and I'll go with Piggy.
I don't think I even care to have dinner with you.
You don't?
I'll eat now and you can eat later.
Why don't I eat now and you eat later?
What?
Why do you have first crack at it?
What a callous boy. Hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you?
No, I don't want anything. Just wanted to get out of the house and away from Leroy.
The boy got the mumps or something?
No, I'm purposely ignoring him because he wired those school bells and won't admit it.
You don't say.
I'm giving him something to think about. What are you doing, Peavy?
I'm just putting these cosmetics on the shelves. No woman uses a lot of camouflage these days, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, I guess so.
They may not put much on their backs, but they sure put a lot on their faces. I wonder what a woman really looks like.
You should know, Peavy, you're married.
Yeah, I think I'll take some of this stuff home to Mrs. Peavy. Mr. Gildersleeve, I have a new line of perfume here. Anytime you need a gift for the new school principal.
Well, we aren't getting along right now.
You don't say?
That's Leroy's fault, too. I tried to explain the situation to her, and we had a row.
Well, if you and Miss Henshaw had a row, you might want to skedaddle out the back way.
Do I?
Here she comes.
Who?
Hello, Mr. Peavy.
Good evening, Miss Henshaw.
Throckmorton, I'm so glad to see you.
You are?
We found out who caused all the bell ringing in school.
Leroy's fingerprints?
No. Leroy had nothing to do with it.
He didn't?
Some of the older boys were indulging in a pre-Halloween prank.
They were? Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, explains why Leroy wouldn't admit he did it, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, he'd rigged all the bells at home except the burglar alarm.
I'm afraid you owe Leroy an apology, Throckmorton.
Yeah, I'll say I do. I jumped to conclusions. I assumed too much.
Yes, you did.
I really wronged the boy. I was short-sighted, unfair, suspicious...
Stupid.
All right, Peavy.
I'm just helping you out.
I owe you an apology, too, Throckmorton, getting upset with you. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry for what I said, too.
Maybe we should go somewhere and be sorry together. How about tomorrow evening?
Tomorrow evening?
If you want some place to go and have a Sunday, I'd be glad to whip up a masterpiece to top off your evening.
Phoebe, when I entertain a girl, a Sunday would hardly be the highlight of the evening.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Mr. Gildersleeve's gonna be mighty sorry he accused you, Leroy.
Yeah. I can't wait for Unc to come home. What a break for me.
Boy, what are you up to now?
Well, they say you should pay for your mistakes. And Unc's gonna pay.
Leroy!
Uh-oh, I'm gonna leave the field to you.
Leroy? Oh, there you are, my boy.
So?
They found out who fouled up the bells at school.
Yeah.
Leroy, I'm sorry. I thought it was you. Well, my boy, suppose we go to that movie you were talking about.
I don't think I want to attend a movie with you.
Oh, come on. We'll eat dinner and be off for an evening together.
I don't think I care to have dinner with you.
But, Leroy...
Sorry, Unc, but something has happened between us. Like you said, the spark is gone.
Now, Leroy, I made a mistake.
You sure did.
But I want to make it up to you.
It's too late, Unc. You've stifled my genius.
What?
Just when it was starting to burn.
What genius?
My electrical genius. I might have been another Thomas Edison or an Alexander Graham Bell. That is, if I had better equipment.
Better equipment?
There's a kit down at Hogan Brothers with switches, wire, batteries, transformers. I could take that and invent anything.
Oh?
But I guess if you ever caught me doing something practical, like specializing in electricity, I'd get the treatment again.
My boy, I want you to have that outfit.
No.
Leroy, please. I owe it to you. Say you'll accept it.
Well... Okay, Unc, if it'll make you happy.
You don't mind staying out a little later tonight, do you, Irene?
Not at all, Throckmorton. It's been fun.
Yeah, I thought it'd be nice to stop by the house and have some Bertie's cake and hot chocolate. You come here. It's us, Bertie.
Yes.
Oh, Bertie has a nice fire going.
Yes. Let's go over and sit down.
Here comes the hot chocolate and the cake.
Well, such service.
Bertie's a jewel.
Hey, Linda Fanshawe.
Hello, Bertie.
Now I'll put the tray right down here by you two and leave you to shift for yourself.
All right, Bertie. We'll manage. Thank you. Good night.
Yes, sir. How do you like the look of that cake, Miss Henshaw?
Oh, it's beautiful, Bertie. I've been hearing a lot about your cake.
Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, Bertie's quite a cook. Good night, Bertie.
Good night, Miss Gildersleeve. That recipe for this cake won the first prize at the county fair, Miss Henshaw.
Really?
Do you cook, Miss Henshaw?
Oh, my goodness.
Not very much, I'm afraid.
I know you're the school principal, but principals ought to know how to cook. They get mad, too.
Yes, well, I'm afraid my interest lies more in the sciences. Physics, astronomy.
Well, you and Mr. Gildersleeve could study astronomy together. He likes the moon, too.
Ready.
Of course, the moon's fine when you're courting, but after you're mad, there's nothing like knowing how to make a hot biscuit.
I'll remember that.
Bertie.
I'm going. Good night.
Good night, Bertie.
At last. Why, George, we have quite a time trying to be alone together.
Yes. The last time, it was the school custodian, wasn't it?
Yeah, about those school bells. You know, I made it up to Leroy, though. Got him the finest electrical outfit Hogan Brothers had.
Good.
Yeah, I got him on the right track. He's doing constructive things with it. He even fixed this lamp.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. A very complicated three-way switch. See, it's on bright now.
It is a little bright, isn't it?
Yeah. But look. Now it's dim.
That is better.
I can even make it dimmer.
Oh, it's wired to the burglar alarm. Leroy!
The great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just 30 seconds.
I put the electric kit right there in the car, Unc, like you said.
Yeah, all right, Leroy. I'm sorry it has to be this way, but I'm returning it to Hogan Brothers.
Unc, I'm sorry about the burglar alarm last night, but can I keep the kit if
Leroy, I don't want to discuss it. I'm late for a meeting with the mayor. Oh, for just when I'm in a hurry.
I might be able to fix it, Unc.
You?
Well, I've been studying electricity, you know. Maybe it's the wires.
Leroy, put down the hood.
Yeah, this could be the trouble. Hand me the kit, Unc.
Well, better than paying a mechanic, I guess. Unless he ruins the motor.
Yeah, that might do it. Now step on the starter.
Well, say, it started.
Yeah, let me close the hood. And here's the kit you want to return.
Leroy, maybe you'd better keep it.
Yeah?
The car might be hard to start again some morning.
Gosh, thanks, huh?
Goodbye, my boy.
It's a good thing I pulled that wire loose. I really would have lost this kit.
Is played by Willard Waterman and is an NBC Radio Network production. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White and is transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Jess Kirkpatrick, Lillian Randolph, Kathy Lewis, and Dick LeGrand. Musical compositions by Jack Meekin. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next week and every week for the further adventures of the great Gildersleeve.
You Bet Your Life with Groucho, next on the NBC Radio Network.
Often we wait for a significant event to happen before committing ourselves to a new project, a new lifestyle, or a new goal. However, as the old saying goes, don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. No matter your age, Dearborn Public Schools offers a variety of possibilities to help you start learning today, so that an exciting career or a new life pathway can begin tomorrow. Get your high school diploma, GED, or learn to speak English. Take up a new hobby or try a fitness program. Call Dearborn Public Schools Adult and Community Education at 313-827-1900 or visit our website at adulted.dearborn.com.
All right, so much for that. Hope you enjoyed that one. That was The Great Gildersleeve from October 21st, 1953, as we kind of wrap it for today's Radio Vault. We're going to take a pause and rejoin our friends at Classical 24. Then we have more programming for you later on today at 4 o'clock. Right here on 89.3. That is going to wrap it for today's Radio Vault. And don't forget, Sunday Night Mysteries. We've been running a lot of Whistler programs, and we'll have more of those, I do believe, and maybe a suspense just for you. That's on Sunday night if you like mysteries and adventures and the more dark horrific type programs. Sunday Night Mysteries is when we have those between 9 o'clock and 12 midnight right here in the station, making the waves, WHFR.FM 89.3. Have yourself a good one, and we'll talk to you in a week, if not before. We're going to leave you with a little bit of Ron Carter. From the campus of Henry Ford College, you're listening to listener-supported non-commercial radio. We are WHFR Dearborn, and we feature local and independent artists. We join Classical 24 in progress.
broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR, Tierborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio. You know, WHFR isn't just a radio station. We're part of your community. From music to meaningful discussions, we bring you programs designed with our local area in mind. Whether it's arts, culture, social issues, or local specialty events, we're here to keep you informed, engaged, and entertained. We're proud to partner with incredible organizations like the City of Dearborn, Dearborn Symphony Orchestra, and Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit, just to name a few. And that's just the beginning. Support your local independent station. Stay tuned to 89.3 FM or listen online at WHFR.FM. While you're there, sign up for our loyal listener email list to stay connected. WHFR, we are your community, your voice, your radio station. And thanks for being on this journey with us.
Speaking of hits, here's an excerpt from one by Peter Tchaikovsky. That would be his ballet, The Sleeping Beauty. Mikhail Pletnev conducts the Russian National Orchestra. Thank you.